Okay. Good morning. So the Gemara here, as we noticed, got into a long tangent about tefillin. Let's see how we got into that tangent. The Gemara started saying, Tana Rabbanan, about 10 lines from the end of Amin Aleph, Ochan Achilles Reichel Shogva, Ein Shem 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 Reichel Tzasodah, right? You can't sleep even a Rai outside the Sodah. My time, Amar Ravashi, Zer Shem Yiradin. Ravashi says, theoretically you could sleep Shem as a Rai, but it's a Gzera that after all, once you're asleep, how do you know when you wake up? And you might fall into a deep slumber and sleep Keva. Amar Leibai, Lohadetan Yoshem Om Shem Nesarai, Bitfilin Lo Shem Nes Keva, but the Brisa says in Tefillin, you're allowed to sleep Shem as a Rai and not Keva. So doesn't that prove that you can stop yourself? And obviously there is some mechanism for ensuring that you don't fall into a deep slumber. So Amara Lecho Shema Yiradim. Why aren't we Chomshesh? According to Rav Ashi, Amar Rav Yosef, Rav Eloi, Moshesh, and Oslach Eirim. You have to make an Okimta. Shenas Arai is Mutter, Lechora, both in Tefillin and Sukkah, according to this stage of the Gemara. If you appoint someone else to wake you up in 5 minutes or whatever. Masli or Masharshi, Arvach Arvach Sarach. He says, what do you mean? Your guarantor needs a guarantor. It means, who's going to make sure that this guy wakes you up? Maybe he'll also fall asleep, or some post can maybe he'll forget, etc. After all, how do you know this guy's going to wake you up? So that doesn't work. So rather, Elam, Rab, Barchana, Rab, Yochanan, Miniach, Roshan, and Birkov, Askina, what's the heter of Shena Sarai? It can't be when you appoint someone else to wake you up, because they'll also forget. They'll also fall asleep. Rather, it's when, as we mentioned, you put your head down, I think above your knees, you're just sitting down, and then how long can, it's not comfortable, so you'll obviously wake up in a little while, after it's still arrived. Okay, and that's the heter in Sukkah. L'chor, that heter would also be in Sukkah, logically. And that's the heter the Brisa refers to in Tefillin. Now, the last Sukkah line, Rav Amar in Kevel Ashena, Rav says, no. Maybe that's all true about Tefillin. Tefillin is its own issue. But when it comes to Sukkah, we thought until now that the Isser of Shenas Arai in Sukkah was Gzeira Shema Yiradin, because you might fall into a deep sleep. And then we have to figure out when you will fall into a deep sleep, when you won't. And we had Rav Masharshia, we had rather Rav Yosef Brady Rav Eloi, we didn't like it, and we had Rav Yochanan. Really, that's not true. Tefillin has its own rules, but in Sukkah there's a special rule. In Kevela Shena, there is no difference between fixed and casual sleep. As Rashi says, and all the Rishonim say, based on the Yerushalmi, because the Yerushalmi is very explicit, because sometimes people need a lot of sleep, sometimes people need a little sleep, and therefore even a little sleep is considered chashav, and there's no borderline of Kevin or Rai, it's all important sleep, and therefore it's all Usher and Sukkah, and Sukkah you're not even allowed to fall asleep a little outside the Sukkah. Okay, leaving the Sukkah now, we're going to talk today about Tefillin. So just a side point, I wanted to briefly mention that this line of Rav Masharshia is very nogeya l'chol ha-Torah kula. It's very nogeya l'chol ha-Torah kula. How so? Because I put a whole bunch of shots and brackets, whoever had time to look at them, they all start with a Chachma Shlomo of Rav Shlomo Kluger on the bottom of the Shulchan Aruch in Or Chaim, the very small print. You have the Chachma Shlomo, nothing to do with the Chachma Shlomo back in the Gemara, which was 400 years before that. The Chachma Shlomo of Rav Shlomo Kluger on the bottom of the Shulchan Aruch, who says there's an Isser, you're not allowed to read to a lamplight on Shabbos because you might raise the flame by tilting the lamp if the oil's not even, okay? If you ever see this old technology, you don't understand. You might turn up the flame. And all the poskim say, but the Gemara is something similar to this, but all the poskim say, but if you ask your friend to keep an eye on you and remind you, then it's okay. Like if I tell my friend, do me a favor, keep an eye on me. If your friend has nothing better to do and he's willing, you know, keep an eye on me, make sure that I don't mechalel Shabbos, then it's mutter because you have a shomer. And we know that's true all over Shulchan Aruch, right? We paskin in the Ramah, how come you eat before Mincha, you can eat before Marv, and all these things. If you have a shomer, you're allowed to do all the gzeros of forgetting our mutter if you have a shomer to remind you. Not the gzeros that if you do one thing, then you might do another similar thing. That has nothing to do with that. That's just about confusion. We're not talking zeros about confusion. You know, like if I do malacha with a shinoi, I'll come to malacha without a shinoi, things like that. If I eat chicken with milk, I'll come to eat meat with milk. That's a zero of confusion. If I do A, I might come to do B because A and B are similar. That's what we're talking about. We're talking zeros that I might forget. You know, I know I'm not going to be confused. I know I'm allowed to do A. I know I'm not allowed to do B. But if I eat, I might forget the daven mincha. If I read, I might tilt the lamp. That's gzeiros of forgetting. So gzeiros of forgetting, a shomer is matir. That's accepted by the poskim. The Chachma Shlomo says not true. The Chachma Shlomo is a big chumrah. He says you can't ever rely on a shomer because of our sugya. Says arvach arvut tzarech, that you can't trust a shomer. After all, just like you might forget, the shomer might also forget. And that takes away a lot of the heterim that the people use in everyday life. Based on our sugya, it's a big chumrah, but it seems to be enforced in the Gemara. Okay, how come we are mako? We're mako on, not that we have those oil lamps anymore, but if you would, you'd be allowed to read by an oil lamp if you appointed someone to shomer you. We all know you're allowed to eat before davening if you appoint someone to remind you, etc. How come we do rely on a shomer? So there's many, many, many answers in the Achronim against the Chachma Shlomo. I'll just mention a couple answers in the Achronim. The Tzitz Eliezer here quotes a Bach. The Tzitz Eliezer here quotes a Bach, who says that we don't pass like this line in the Gemara. Rav Misharsha said Arvach Arvitzarech, that the Shomer might forget. And you know what? Because they had other things, they had another way to explain the Braisa, so they sort of let him go. They didn't argue with him, so they said, you know what? Even according to you, we'll have another way of explaining the Braisa based on Maniach Rosh Mein Birka. But the Bach says we don't really pass like Rav Misharsha. Why? Because it's other places in Shas we see that you can rely on someone to remind you. Therefore, it must be Rav Misharsha is wrong. We paskin against him. And that Tzitz Eliezer points out that this Bach really has a source in the Rishonim, because the Me'iri in our sugya says, what does the Me'iri say? He says, if you have a friend and you tell him to remember to wake you up in 5 minutes, and you trust him that he's not going to fall asleep, and he's a trustworthy guy, then you can rely on him against Rav Misharsha. Right, Misharsha says you can't rely on a shomer. Obviously, he says you can't rely on any shomer, otherwise it would have been invalid to come to the brisa. So the Tzitz Eliezer says you can. The Me'iri here, the Me'iri says it has to be a trustworthy guy. Okay, fine, so it'll be a trustworthy guy, not a bum. But the Me'iri says that you can rely on a shomer, and that supports the Bach Shita that we passed against from Misharsha. So that's one way to answer. Here you have the Chachma Shlomo. Hold on. The Chachma Shlomo says that we can't rely on a shomer. The Bach and the Me'iri say, and this is like Rav Misharsha, say that we can rely on a shomer. And we reject Rav Misharsha. Why didn't our Gemara reject him? Because you know how it is in the Gemara. Sometimes when someone says something and we don't pass like him, we'll reject him. And sometimes we'll say, you know what, we really don't pass like you, but since we have another good answer to the question anyway, we're not going to get into that now.
Is it super fair that, I mean, I didn't read the Me'iri, but is it super fair from the Me'iri that if he's not passing like Misharsha, I mean, you can make no kentuch? The Gemara and Shabbos talking about someone who's
in that mosque. So it's not super clear. The problem is that if even Rav Misharsha admitted that a trustworthy guy could be a shomer, then he shouldn't have had a maskif. The Gemara just said, oh, it's a trustworthy guy. And why do they have to go on to Maniach Rosh Mein Birka?
Because they found him much.
Okay, then it's possible.
Can't you make the distinction, though, between a shomer for sleeping and a shomer for anything else?
Why?
Because I mentioned this, a shomer for sleeping, if you're in a room and one person falls asleep, and everyone's going to fall asleep.
Everyone knows sleep is contagious. Okay, where did you read that? You thought of it, good.
No,
okay, it saves a lot of time. You don't have to read so many svarim if you just think. Truth is that, you know, you're, I think Chesky also thought of the same thing without, in the Shut Lahoris Nussan, he passes like, he says that we can rely on a shomer and we accept Rav Misharsha. Why? Because it says very pashut. Normally, of course, you rely on people, meaning we go through life, we rely on people, right? How can you go through life without relying on people? You rely on people for business, you rely on people for sakanas the fashos, right? Of course, I go rock climbing and I rely on the guy to, you know, keep me, you know, not drop me off the cliff or whatever it is he has to do. All the time we rely on people. He says our Gemara is a special chumer because it's only about sleep, and he makes the okimta in our Gemara, which is, it's not a big okimta, it's a pshat okimta. Then the stomach, the guy's sleeping, then it's sleep time, it's late at night. You know, he's tired, people are tired. You know, that he's not the only guy who's tired. If he's sleeping, then it's everyone's exhausted. His group just came back from a hike, or his group has been working hard, or it's late at night. He says, with sleeping, once one guy falls asleep, it's very hard for the other guy to fall awake. We rely on a shomer not to forget. And we rely on a shomer not to fall asleep stam. But when he's in a room of sleepers, then it's hard to resist falling asleep. And that's what he says. But Rav Misharshia was only machmir bizman shena v'chaveiro yoshe. If it's a time of sleeping and your friend went to sleep and you have to stay up, then top if anyone's, it is very hard if everyone falls asleep to stay up. So that's only a very limited chumrah. So yeah, if you would have a case like that, let's say everyone wanted to take a nap at Dam Mincha and they were all really tired and they say, you stay up and remind us, then you wouldn't rely on him because he's going to fall asleep. But in most cases, you can rely on a shomer. Right, so it's a question of where to draw the line. Like, you know, if it's one person is sleeping and nine people are awake, Rav Misharshia also the Nachmir? What if it's five? Five answers, I'm not sure where to draw the line.
Well, they draw the line. Yes, Lion. They draw the line whether or not there is a Zman Chiyuv that is entered or not. Like,
okay.
What's happening? If it's before Zman Chiyuv or there is not yet a
Zman Chiyuv. If it's before Zman Chiyuv, then it's easier to be Mekel, correct?
Enochanami.
Look, you could say like him, but without the part about Zman Shena, just the your friend sleeping, that would be better. Or you could say the reason he's so desperate for Shena Sarai is because they're tired. Otherwise, why would he be so desperate? So either way, yeah.
Did the poskim discuss inanimate shomrim, like alarm clocks?
Right, it's an interesting question. You'd think an alarm clock should be better than a friend, because the alarm clock can't fall asleep or forget. You know, so, but the classical poskim don't, but modern day poskim do. Correct. So you have to say, they just said that, like, Lishi Tascha, I have an answer. But really, I disagree with you, and I'm not going to bother to mention that now. You're right that metode, it's possible, but doch. Okay, I'll just mention one or two other answers, and then we'll move on. The Arch Lemaire says right here that Rav Misharshia was only machmir for tefillin. He says that really a Misharshia didn't mean you can never trust a shomer, only for tefillin. Why? Because we're extra machmir by the kedusha of tefillin. And then he has a whole deal. How did the Gemara know they're extra machmer? How did he know to be extra machmer the Kedusha Tefillin? Ah, because since they were already machmer, don't sleep arai, because you might sleep keva. And even that, don't sleep keva, because you might flatulate. Isn't that a gzera l'gzera? The answer is no, by tefillin, we're so machmer, it goes around everything. If so, we should also be closer to the other, I forgot. So that's the Arch Lemaire says, it's a specific homer in tefillin. He doesn't get into lamdas, but if you want them to say lamdas, why would we be more machmer in tefillin than in Chilul Shabbos? You know, and other more serious things. So the answer might be because maybe by tefillin, there's a special din of tefillin as a chefshe shel kedusha, and we have a special din of shmiras tefillin. How do we know we have a special din of shmiras tefillin? We know there's certain things that have to be shomer in mishmeras trumosai, truma. How do we know there's a din of shmir and tefillin from the Torah or from hilchos brachos that are not lemaisa? Okay, what do you mean by that? Shenishvar, and that is parallel to what bracha that they used to say once upon a time? Living take off film, lishmar chukav, right? And this special bracha, shmiras film, that you have to, even when you take it off, that you're careful with it, you know, and you take it off to make sure not to do the wrong thing with it, and that comes from the chumash. You know, it's not something made me draw a button on. But it says in the parsha of, not the parsha of film, but it says next to tefillin, vishamarta, right, ukshartem osab. The osal yachaltos zikaron beinecha lamanti yataras shem aficha etc. V'shamarta sachukazos lemoadam yamim yamima. And there's a Gemara discusses is that v'shamarta going karm pesach is going on tefillin, but at least it's quite possible it's going on tefillin. So maybe as a special kima shmiras tefillin, the kima shmiras tefillin means it's not enough to just have the regular kolator kula gzera. For shmiras tefillin, you need to make sure there's no chance that you'll disrespect the tefillin, that you'll denigrate the tefillin. And therefore, maybe Rav Sharsha only meant when you have a chiyuv of shmiras chatzar shel kedusha, for the chiyuv of shamarta sachuka, then you can't rely on a shomer because you might fall asleep. But that's because of this special chiyuv. What does a chiyuv shmira means? You have to do extra to guard your tefillin, more than guarding the rest of the Torah. Okay, so for tefillin, you have to do extra. The Aruch Haner doesn't tie it into this, but I think it's clear this is where it would come from. For tefillin, you have to do extra. But for kol tarkul, you can rely on a shomer. That might be the Aruch Haner's lumbus. Okay. Okay, I would only say from the Lashon of Shmira, because we do find whenever the Lashon of Shmira is used elsewhere in the Torah, like by Truma, we have an extra chiyuv to guard it. So I make that parallel, even if I don't have a proof. Okay, let's just mention maybe one or two other pshat. I'll mention one other pshat.
But it's also more kuladik, because tefillin, there's no iser of Shena per se, which they'll have with Sukkah. The two are fundamental.
Okay.
So kula.
Correct. And here we have to say we're ignoring that aspect. I'll just say a very clever thing, the Shut Betzel HaChachma, which ends up, he has a Chumra Halach Lamaisa based on this. The Shut Betzel HaChachma, the Betzel Stern from Australia, right? The brother of the Bar Moshe, the Debrecina Rav from New York. He says that, it's Rav Sharchi was only Makar in our case, not to trust the Shomer. Why? Because in our case, let's think about this. The whole gzeiras means you shouldn't trust yourself to remember something, right? That's why they make gzeiras in some cases. So if I fall asleep, you shouldn't trust one person. If I fall asleep and appoint a shomer, then he's only one person. I shouldn't trust him. I'm allowed to rely on a shomer when I'm awake. If I'm reading through the lamplight and he's watching me, then there are two people I'll remember, or he'll remember. One of us will remember. If I'm eating a meal before Mincha and he reminds me of Mincha, there's two people. Either I'll remember Mincha or he'll remind me Mincha. Right? But over here, when there's a shomer only works when there's two conscious people, because what are the odds both of us will forget? One of us will remember. But if I fall asleep and appoint him, then maybe two shomer would work. Then the problem is, it says most of Shinosol Achayrim, so he gets in the whole discussion. What if it's more than one shomer? Right? So, now, according to him, he comes with a chumrah. If I want to eat before Mincha, I can appoint a shomer to remind me. But if I want to sleep before Mincha, I can't appoint a shomer, because now there's only one conscious person. So that comes up with a big chumrah. I don't think Allah HaMaisa were mapping at that, but he says that Rav Misharshia was only machmir when...
Wouldn't that be explicitly against the Gemara, though? Because he says, like, oh, your shomer would need a shomer, and this case would be in a hanami. If your shomer had a shomer, would be fine.
Yeah. No, not if your shomer slept and had a shomer.
No, your shomer was awake.
Okay. But you could say that's just a phrase. When the person himself is asleep, in which case the chomer would be that you can never rely on a shomer when you're asleep, only when you're awake, because you need two minds in order to remember. It's a good logic. Halach l'maisa, I'm not sure we pass like it. These are some of the many answers in the Achronim. Halach l'maisa, no one agrees with the Chachma Shlomo. I say no one, I mean the vast majority of poskim don't agree with Chachma Shlomo. And even though Rav Sharsha makes it sound like we never trust shomerim, we do rely on shomer. Okay, let's go deep into the halachas of tefillin now. Says the Gemara now, Tani Chada, Yashan Filo Shenis Arayva Lo Shenis Keva, V'Tanya Idach, Ben Keva Ben Arayv, V'Tanya Idach Lo Keva Lo Arayv. Okay, you know what, even before we get into that, it's very clear that you're not allowed to sleep in tefillin. Right, we want to know which is which. If there's one case you're allowed to sleep, one case you're allowed to sleep arayv and akeva, which is what we just discussed, then you have to say it's meniach rosh ben berkov, or if you don't like the meiri in the bach, it's moser shenasal achir. And one case you're not allowed to sleep at all, lokasha had nachal biyaldei had manchi roshit had par sudri lave. One is if they're you're holding them in your hand. One is if they're on your head normally, and one is if you put a cloth on them, which we're not sure what it means. But before we get into this, the very basic question, which I put here, is why is it usher to sleep in tefillin in the first place? Why should it be usher to sleep in tefillin? What does Rashi say here, and pretty much everyone here? Why is it usher to sleep in tefillin? Shema yafiyach, right? Because you might flatulate, and we all know that in many places in Shas, it talks about how it's usher to pass gas to flatulate while wearing tefillin. That's what Rashi says here. That is, the Ritva here says the same thing, the Ra'ah here says the same thing, and the Rambam Pashtun Shad on the Rambam, Hilchos Tefillin also says the same thing, right? The Rambam says you're not allowed to flatulate wearing tefillin. Lefikach, therefore, right? I think his lashon was lefikach. In Perek Dalet Halacha Tesvav, tefillin tzrichin gufnaki sheizor shmo teitzei mimenu ruach minamata kol zman sheim olav. Lefikach asur li shemen lo shenis kevel shenis harai. Therefore, you're not allowed to sleep in them. Okay, so the majority mainstream opinion is that why are you not allowed to sleep in tefillin? Answer. Shayna b'tfillin, and no one actually disagrees with this. The majority shita is Shema Yafiach, because of fear of passing gas, and that is Rashi here, the Ritva here, the Rambam, and many other Rishonim as well. Rashi, Sukkah, the Ritva, the Ra'ah here says the same exact thing, the Rambam, and others. However, Rashi in... Rashi in Shabbos says a little differently. What does Rashi in Shabbos say? Exactly. Rashi in Shabbos says, Shema Yafiach. Everyone agrees Shema Yafiach, I think. I don't think anyone disagrees with this. Shema Yafiach, but he has two reasons. Oh, Yira Keri. Maybe it's a problem of passing gas, or it's a problem of Keri. When someone's asleep, they can't control themselves. And Mikre Laila. They could wear keri, and keri is a bizayon to tefillin, just like hafacha, just like passing gas is a bizayon to tefillin. Here, this Rashi was a little controversial. Why was this Rashi controversial? Because against the Gemara later on, right? The Gemara later on says that, and Tosfos points this out in Shabbos, right? The Gemara later on says, could it be that Rabbi Yossi old Bob keri is also in the tefillin? Nah, must be that he was talking to Shosei and Imahem, and he was talking about Isser Tashamita and Tefillin. Tashamita is clearly Kalas Rosh. That's obviously Isser and Tefillin. But Kerry's not a problem. So Argmar says Kerry's not a problem. Okay, we'll have to get back to that.
Why doesn't Kerry's not, it's a different thing. The Kerry there, even if he took a shower, he's still a Baal Kerry.
No, but our case and the case in Argmar are parallel. Rashi's saying he'll actually have the Kerry right then.
That's
exactly the case in our Gemara of Rav Yossi. What does Rav Yossi say? Rav Yossi says that young men are not allowed to go sleep in their tefillin. Why? Not because they might be balkari already. Obviously, he means they're not allowed to go sleep in their tefillin because they might see kari while they're wearing tefillin. Exact same case.
Yeah, but a balkari that they're talking about is a person who is, and he might have just taken a shower and he's still a balkari and he can't wear.
But that's not what Rashi's talking about in Shabbos. He's talking that when because if the problem is that he's a Balkari from an hour ago, then who cares if he's asleep or awake? Then he shouldn't wear tefillin. If a Balkari shouldn't wear tefillin, he shouldn't wear tefillin awake or asleep. Why are you saying don't wear tefillin asleep? Because the Keri might come out right now with the tefillin. And that's exactly the case later on, which the Gemara is not worried about.
Maybe that's your take, Rob, because it's like Masriach. It's more than you being a Balkari.
I know, but that's the exact case that the Gemara's Matir at the end of our Sugya and Chavavim and Beis.
But the Gemara and Chavavim and Beis just says Balkari being the issue.
I'm not looking at that word. I'm looking at the conversation. The conversation that Rav Yossi says. The Kash is obvious.
But I'm just saying that what you could say the Gemara is saying is, of course, if the Keri was there, it'd be an issue. But Balkari is really the issue. I mean, the Gemara's taking a step further.
I don't think you can read it that way, but you know what? Let's come back to that, right? The question is, let me tell you why. Rashi says it's also to sleep because Keri might come out while he's sleeping. The Gemara later on has Rav Yossi. Don't give me one line out of context, Yonatan. Rav Yossi says young men can't sleep in tefillin. Gemara says, why? Is it because of Keri? Says, no, he's not worried about Keri. Not worried about Keri means he's not even worried about Keri coming out while his tefillin are on, while he's asleep. So obviously we're not worried about it. So Tosfos' kasha is that it's against the end of our sugya, and the answer for Rashi is we'll come back to this soon. Okay? We'll come back to this soon. The answer for Rashi. We could talk about it now. Okay, we won't come back to it soon. We'll answer now. Fine. How does Rashi answer? So the answer, I think, is very poshut. Let's go on in our Gemara, and then we'll come back to where you were. Says our Gemara, "Bekama shenis arai, how long is shenis arai? Tani Rami Rechesu behiluch mea ama. The amount it takes to walk 100 amos, which is very short, right? If we assume, like majority of poskim, that you walk 2,000 amos in 18 minutes, then you walk 100 amos in about a minute. Very short power nap, as they say. Tani Nami Hachi, right? It's also taught this way in terms of the Shita the Chacham in the following Brisa, that Hayoshim Bitfilin Veroa Keri, Ochiz Bertsua Veino Ochiz Bektsisa Diver Yaakov. If someone's sleeping in Tfilin and sees Keri, the Keri comes out right now, he's about Keri now, then how does he remove his Tfilin? He touches the, when he's about Keri, how does he remove his Tfilin? He doesn't touch the actual box of the Tfilin, which is what we call a Chefta Shel Kedusha. Rather, he doesn't take it off of the box. He rather takes off of the strap, because the strap is only called Tashmishe Kedusha. Okay, there's a din in the Akrona. It could be the part of the strap that's tied into a knot that forms one of the letters of Hashem's name, of Shakai. That might be considered Gufa Kedusha. But the regular straps, not the knot, the Stam straps, those are only Tashmishe Kedusha, and therefore they were Makel, so therefore he should touch the more Makel part, not the more Machmer part. Divar of Yaakov.
Why didn't
Gemara
just say
Shemima?
Like, if he wants to be
Mashmir
Tfilin,
meaning. Give me a second. No, Mechor is talking about removing the Tfilin.
No, but why is the Gemara saying, if you want to remove them, that's what you do? You should say, if you want to touch your Tfilin, you're supposed to touch
it. Aha, okay, good question. Now, let me just ask you another question, another angle. In Rabbi Yaakov, part of the Gemara, why is the guy removing his Tfilin at all? Right? Why doesn't he just let it be? So, what does Rashi say at the end of Chof of Ben Aleph? Sorech l'salkon meirosho. He has to take them off his head. Ba'od ha-keri alav while the keri is still on him. Right? He has to take it off his head while the keri is still on him. And therefore, since he's taking it out of the head, he has to take it off his head while the keri is still on him, therefore he should touch the lower part of the ritzuos and not the more kadosh part of the tzitza. Rashi sounds like he has to. Right? Take it off, right? He has to take it off. Why does he have to take it off? Right? Now, not everyone agrees with this Rashi. Who reads this line in the Gemara a little different from Rashi? What does the Meiri say here on Rabbi Yaakov? What does the Meiri say about Rabbi Yaakov? Give me half a second. Says the Meiri, when he quotes the Rabbi Yaakov, Hayyashin Tfilah Ro'a Keri, V'rotzeh L'Salkon, and he wants to take them off. These are two fundamentally different ways of reading Rabbi Yaakov. Sorech L'Salkon or Rotzeh L'Salkon? Is it just when he says, really, you don't have to do anything? If he sees Keri, he doesn't do anything. But if he wants to take them off for some reason, I don't know, maybe he wants to lend them to his friend, maybe he wants to go to the bathroom, he could have many reasons why he'd want to take them off. If he wants to take them off, this is the way he touched them. But there's no obligation to take them off. Why is there no obligation to take them off? Because a bal keri's mutter b'tfilin, right? So why should there be an obligation? Why should there be an obligation to take them off? So the Meiri assumes that there's no obligation. Here, you want to know Rabbi Yaakov. What does Rabbi Yaakov mean? So there's two ways to interpret Rabbi Yaakov. Rashi says, Sorech le sale katfilin. And the Meiri says, no, ain't no sorech le salkon. You don't have to take off the tefillin, but if you want to take off the tefillin, this is how you should do it. Now, what's the svar of the Meiri? The svar of the Meiri is very pashut, because we paskin, Bal Keri is mutter b'tfilin. If Bal Keri is mutter b'tfilin, then what's the problem, right? The question is, what does, and Rashi's not the only one who says this, the Piskei Rid, which I put in the brackets, also assumes you're chayav to remove your tfilin. He says that, give me a second. Vamor, or rather, he quotes Rashi. Hamor appears Bryce Rishona and Ra Keri Lasalkami Allah Bolcha Keri Allah. He quotes Rashi. The Mor always means Rashi. The question is just for Rashi, why? Why does he have to take off his tilt?
Could be a difference between the three stages. Could be a Bal Keri is one, but Od HaKeri Allah another stage in the middle, and Shema Yireh Keri.
Okay, great. Okay, excellent. So the So the question is, let me just come back to the second. Why? Why does Rashi think that Rabbi Yaakov asers? So, basically, you have to say, Rabbi Yaakov asers to him while the carries on you. But remember, the Gemara later on says that it's mutter while the carries on you. What does the Gemara later on say? The Gemara later on says that Rabbi Yossi asers the young men sleeping in tefillin because of Tumah. They say, does that mean about carries asers in tefillin? It can't be. Rather, he means it's usher because of Hergel Dover. They might do Tashra Mita. Tashra Mita is much more than Kerry. That's Kalos Roach. That's, of course, usher in Tillim. But Valkyrie's okay. So if the Gemara in the end of Chaf, the middle of Chaf Vav and Beis says Valkyrie's okay, why is it more at the top line of Chaf Vav and Beis? But Rabbi Yaakov think of Valkyrie is usher. So I think the answer is very pashut. You have to say that Rabbi Yaakov Savar should usher at least, right? At least be'od hakeri olav. You know, maybe you wouldn't usher if you're stam, like you're not a chassid and you're a valkeri from last week and you haven't gone to the mikveh yet. That he wouldn't usher. But while the keri's on you, he might usher. And that would be Rabbi Yaakov Sar Shasser, and that would be against the Gemara at the end of the Sugya, right? It would be against the Gemara at the end of the Sugya. Why would Yaakov be against what the Gemara assumes at the end of the Sugya? Or rather, let's say better, against the line of, against the line. What's the line of the Gemara? Give me a second. Of Lema Kasavar Rabbi Yossi. Lema Kasavar Rabbi Yossi Vechuli. At the end of our sugya. And, of course, the Tosri, the Biskerit says, don't get clever with me and say it's not a machlokes. Like Yonatan was saying before. That Gemara just made the Malkari from 3 days ago is mutter. And Rabbi Yaakov just meant, while the carry is on you, it's usher, and there's no machlokes, which Yonatan said, by taking one line out of context of that Gemara, of that part of the Gemara, you could say. Does the Miskeri point that? No, you can't answer that there's no machlokes. Rabbi Yaakov only asers carry a love, and the Gemara later on only mattered when it's 3 days ago. Because the Gemara later on was also talking about when the carry was a love. They're talking about Eretz sleeps and sees carry right then. So they're also talking about carry a love. So the Gemara later on says, carry a love is not a problem. Says, Baal carry is not a problem, even when the carry's on, it's not a problem. And Rabbi Yaakov says it is a problem. So, what do you have to say? What about against this line? So, you have to say one of two things. Either you could say what the Piskei Rid says is that this is, right? This is a known problem, right? Everyone knows if you reduce something, you reduce something to a known problem, you solve it, right? What do we mean? We mean this is not a new machlokas. Anyone remember an old machlokas about Balkari, not that particularly about tefillin? Right? Is about Kerry, Usher, and Torah. It's in Tefillah, etc. Right? Tikkunis Ezra. So remember, we paskin, Ibn Aguama, that about Kerry is mutter and everything. You know, okay, I think even the Hasidim paskin that way, they're just machmir, right? Do it in the mikveh every morning. But we paskin, all Kerry is mutter and Torah, and mutter and Tefillah, and mutter and Tefillah, etc. But there is a day in the Tanoim. You learn the Shnais and Brachos, and at one point this seems to have been the mainstream day until it changed and the Am started to be Nohei. Like the other day, that about carries usher and everything. So the Piskei Rid says, no problem. It's a machlokas tanoim, and it's not a new machlokas tanoim, it's an old machlokas tanoim. He just says that it's a machlokas tanoim. Rabbi Yaakov was the minority shita that Balkari is usher b'Torah, and if he's usher in Torah, he's also usher in Tefillin, he's usher in everything. Right, Balkari, Mahar, Her, Believe, Vayinu, Mavarit, the Mishnah, Brachos, and even for Kriyashma, you can't say, you can just think about it a little. While the Gemara, the Sof HaSugya, that is the majority opinion that Balkari is mutter b'divrei Torah. And therefore they said, come on, you think Balkari is going to be usher? That can't be. They know Rabbi Yaakov holds it is, but they say it can't be that's how we paskin, because we know that's a rejected shita. That's the way the Piskei Rid solves it. What I just want to suggest for a moment is that, sorry, Elchanan, is that Rashi solves it a little differently. The Piskei Rid is saying this within Rashi. He says, this is what the Mora says. Mora means Rashi in both the Piskei Rid and the Tosfos Rid. In all of his books, Mora means Rashi. But I think there's an important line in Rashi. I think Rashi's Lashitase. How is Rashi Lashitase? There's three Rashis here in Lashitase. One is Rashi in Shabbos, who's the only one who says the reason it's usher to sleep in tefillin is because of keri. Two is Rashi on the bottom of Chaf Vav and Aleph. And Rabbi Yaakov said, Sorech Lasalkan Me'olav against the Me'iri. Sorech, you're chayav to remove it. Three is, I don't know, when I first read this Rashi, I didn't make a big deal. When I went back, I noticed that there seemed to be an unnecessary line in Rashi. Look at the Rashi, the third class Rashi in the Sugya before the Mishnah. Lema Kasar Rabbi Yossi. The Gemara says, could it be Rabbi Yossi Asher Nabal Keri and Filin? Nah. How did everyone understand this? Could it be Rabbi Yossi? How did Tosos and the Me'iri understand? Could it be Rabbi Yossi Asher Nabal Keri and Filin? Nah, that's ridiculous. No, it can't be. Of course, Nabal Keri's mutter. How did the Rid say? Could it be Rabbi Yossi Asher? Nah, that's Yochanan Rabbi Yaakov that no Paskin's like. Of course, we don't Paskin that way. Rashi, I think, adds something maybe unnecessary here. Maybe necessary, maybe not. You could stick it in the Piskei Rid, but I think it adds something unnecessary. Lema Kasavar Rabbi Yossi. Usually, when we say Lema Kasavar, it's just maybe yes, maybe no. He's Rashi adds, Umibay Lema Kavase. And if he did hold that way, we'd have to paskin like him. Shalacha Kamosa Barob Bakomos, the Halacha is usually like him, the Kaimilo Nimuko Imo, because his logic is with him. Meaning Rashi sort of adds, could it be that Rabbi Yossi holds? And like, and so what if Rabbi Yossi holds? That's a valid Shita. No, could it be that Rabbi Yossi holds? If Rabbi Yossi holds, then we'd have to pass it that way, and it would be important, letting him suck. Rashi adds something unnecessary here. He could have just said, could it be that Rabbi Yossi holds it? That's not a valid shita. No, he says, of course it's a valid shita. Just, could it be that Rabbi Yossi holds it? So, who cares if Rabbi Yossi holds it? Meaning, Rashi's like, we're not questioning whether it's a valid mainstream shita. Of course it's a valid mainstream shita. If it's a valid mainstream shita, Rashi was stuck. I know it's a valid mainstream shita. It's the shita of Rabbi Yaakov, and it's the shita I mentioned in Shabbos. It's a perfectly valid shita. If it's a perfectly valid shita, then Rashi asked himself, so why do we care if Rabbi Yossi holds it? If it's a valid shita, who cares? The answer is, we're just interested in the Havara of the Psak. There are two valid shitas, we're not sure how to paskin. So we ask, is it that Rabbi Yossi holds one of the two valid shitas? And if so, that would be important for Psak, because there's a rule in Nimuko Imo. The fact that Rashi has to add this factor in shows that he thinks the valid shita. Well, if it's a valid shita, why is the Gemara a question? The Gemara's question is just, we don't know how to paskin. And Rabbi Yossi is a hush of name, because he has a special rule of Nimuko Imo. So we want to know how to paskin. So I think Rashi himself would say that it's a machlokes tanoim, and there are two mainstream shitas. There are two mainstream shitas in the machlokes tanoim. That's why he quoted in the Gemara Shabbos, because it is a mainstream shita in the tanoim. What about the Gemara in the end of the Sugya? The Gemara Besofa Sugya was not saying that it's not mainstream to hold Usher. It wasn't saying what everyone thought, it's not mainstream to hold Balkari's Usher and Tefillin. No, it is a mainstream sheet to hold Balkari's Usher and Tefillin. That's a perfectly fine sheet. It was just wondering about Psak Halacha in a Machlokes. There's a Machlokes that I didn't know how to Paskin. So the Gemara says, can we say that we can figure out whose side Rabbi Yossi's on in Paskin? And then there's an answer is, no, we can't necessarily say we can figure out whose side Rabbi Yossi's on. Because there's another way of explaining Rabbi Yossi, and therefore we don't know how to Paskin. But for Rashi, the Gemara wasn't, everyone else is that Tema. No one can hold that. Rashi, of course you can hold that. We're just curious whether Rabbi Yossi held it or not, because his name has special halachic power. And the answer is, we can't know that Rabbi Yossi held that. So it's left as an unpaskin machlokes. If it's an unpaskin machlokes tanaim, then Rashi and Shabbos is allowed to tell you both sheets as an unchlokes tanaim. So I think that Rashi is a clearly shitase. Rashi has a. For Rashi, what do you have to say? Is that Rashi says that Rabbi Yaakov holds Usher, and the end of our sugya didn't mean that no one holds Usher, which we thought it meant, rather just that we're curious how Rav Yossi holds. And why should we be curious only how Rav Yossi holds? Because Rav Yossi has special power in halacha. Yeah, but it could be they rejected that we don't know that he holds that way. There could be another way of saying it. Well, right? So
why would Rashi and Shad say something which...
Because Rabbi Yaakov. Rashi was influenced by Rabbi Yaakov. Why is Rabbi Yaakov not important? Let me point out one thing. It's not just Rabbi Yaakov. Let me point out one more thing. It's not just Rabbi Yaakov. Because what did the Chachamim say back to Rabbi Yaakov? Rabbi Yaakov says, if someone's sleeping with tefillin and has a seminal emission... Then they touch the ritzuos and not the, we call the bais, right? Not the actual square. And what does the Chacham say back to him?
Yoshe.
You can sleep Shenas Arai, but you can't sleep Shenas Keva. This is somewhat of a non sequitur. He tells you how to touch your tefillin when you're a Balkari, or when the Keri's on you, at least. And they say back to him, you can't sleep Shenas Keva. So what's Pasha Pshat? The Raw and others make this explicit. They say, we're never even going to get to a state of Balkari because we don't let him sleep Keva anyway, so it's never going to happen that it'll be a Balkari with Tfilin. So Rashi might have understood that Rabbi Yaakov says, a Balkari in Tfilin, b'dieved, if he has the Keri on him, he has to take it off in a respectful way. And one of the Chachamim say, you're right, a Balkari in Tfilin is terrible. And therefore, you shouldn't sleep in the first place. Rashi, why didn't Medayik even in the Chacham Rabbi Yaakov? Let me say even better. If Rabbi Yaakov says about Keri's usher in Tfilin, not like the Meiri, Rabbi Yaakov says about Keri's usher in Tfilin, and he's a mainstream Shita, and the Chacham say back to him, you should know we don't even get to that state because he doesn't sleep in the first place, Keva. Then Pashup Shot is, you could say Bedochak or Shalom Bedochak, you know, that he says about Keri's usher, and what do they say back to him? About Keri's mutter. But you should know that's irrelevant because it's usher to sleep because of passing gas, so it doesn't come up. But that's not what's a simple way to read the Braisa? He says the Balkari's usher, so if it happens, you're in trouble. And they say, if the Balkari's usher, don't let it happen in the first place. It really sounds like a chamim asr shena because of Keri. Right? So I'd say even better. It's not just if Yaakov holds usher, but, and even more, that the chachamim sound like, it's not mochrach. You can say it's coincidence, but they sound like they forbid Shena because of Rabbi Yaakov's concern of of Re'ias Keri. Right? That's the push up shot, right? If I say, I don't know, what does the guy do when he's nichshal and he forgets to say Mashav Ruach Moed Geshem? And I say back to you, you should daven with a sitter. What do I mean? I mean that I admit it's bad to forget Mashav Ruach Moed Geshem, and therefore I'm giving you a solution to not get, I don't mean coincidentally. L'chorah, but I'm responding to your concern. You're wondering what to do with the evidence if a guy did something wrong. So I'm telling you, I have a good idea to avoid doing something wrong. Here's my eitzah. And it sounds like that's what the Chacham is saying. So forget everything I said until now. This is the real reason. That it's the Chacham and Rabbi Yaakov that Rashi's based on. Right? Rabbi Yaakov says, Keri's a problem with the evidence. And the Chacham say, if Keri's a problem, then don't get into the situation in the first place and don't sleep. Hamashma, that sleeping is usher because of Keri. Now, Rashi knows you can answer back and say, no, what they meant is sleeping is also because of passing gas and coincidentally prevents you from seeing Keri, which is not a problem. But that's not the simple way. Simple way to do it says they're talking on the same wavelength. In which case, Rashi is a strong raya from Rabbi Yaakov and even stronger from the Chacham Rabbi Yaakov, and he already neutralized the line at the end of the Gemara. So Rashi is a shiva, carries Usher and Tefillin.
Why do we care about what the random the random town holds? Like, so the Gemara clarifies that, oh, it's not like we really inquired about its opinion for no reason. It's because we would possibly...
Could be, but it's for Yosef versus Rinosan. I mean, it's 50-50 anyway. No, I don't know why Rashi would feel obligated to say something.
Against Rabbi Yaakov and the Chacham.
Right.
Oh, according to Rashi.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
And the real reason that Rashi would be saying is simply because Rashi has this chiluk about when it's on him versus when it's not on him. Meaning that, like, that's really what's running through Rashi's trail. I mean, once we have that Rashi ending at this point, you don't have to, like, bring in this separate machlokas, which has nothing, like, for example, what the Rid did with that machlokas. like, isn't there like a third, like sort of simple read?
Yeah, I'm not sure I meant to say different from that.
I think it's neither of these two.
Okay, so I could just add two mainstream Shintos, and probably, what if I add this? Probably both agree that an old Baal Keri is mutter, but they argue about Ba'od HaKeri Olav. Right? If I added that, then we're saying the same thing. 99%.
Right, exactly.
I thought I was guilty over here, but you're right. Probably the difference between Rashi and Pesukim, the Pesukim says it means even about Keri from last week, in which case it's a very non-mainstream shita, because why about Keri from last week if you can do everything else? Why can you just not work tefillin? For Rashi, either he thinks about Keri from next week can't work tefillin, in which case everyone's in trouble nowadays, or more likely, he thinks it's only, like he said, Rabbi Yaakov, but would have Keri Olav. Why did the Gemara use the Lashon of Baal Keri later on? Okay, maybe they're using that Lashon, a little Lavdavka. They refer to Oda Keri Olav. Okay, fair. Now, yes.
Elchanan. I don't think it's justice to say that at the end of the Gemara it leaves it equal. The Gemara wants to suggest this is their ability, this is how we pass it.
Okay, I can't argue with you, because all over Shas, if you gave me a day, I could come back to you with 100 examples. All over Shas, the Gemara says, let's say we conclude X, and someone says, no, Y. And every case of Machlokes Rishonim, when they said, let's say it's X, no, Y, do they mean Davka Y and X is wrong and we're passing Y against X? Or do they just mean it doesn't have to be X, it could also be Y, and it's an unresolved open question? You have both of those cases so often in Shas that I don't think you can say proven one way or the other. Lemaisa, this is a standard thing in Shas. Lema kasavar X? No, Y. And many cases in Shas, it doesn't mean we're sure it's Y. It just means we have the option of Y.
So Rabbi thinks that Rashi actually paskins not like the way the Marcus of Rabbi Yossi, but like Rabbi Yaakov.
So I'm a little misopic. Either he paskins like Rabbi Yaakov, or he thinks that it's not clear which way to paskin, and therefore he's taking him into account. But he definitely doesn't paskin against Rabbi Yaakov. Correct. He doesn't think we pass against Rabbi Yaakov. He thinks it's either an unresolved machlokas or we pass against like Rabbi Yaakov. That could be either way, because Rashi could write something if it's one shita and an unresolved machlokas. But I'd be noted to think that Rashi even thinks we pass like Rabbi Yaakov. And the Chacham Rabbi Yaakov.
Also,
that Rashi passed in that way, and therefore Rashi paskins while the carries on you, it's also where it's fallen.
Also,
I think that's reasonable.
It's also the shita of the Tanakhama of the Rabbi Yossi. It's Nechalik Pashas. Assuming that the Chacham and the Tanakhama Rabbi Yossi are talking about the same topic.
Okay.
The Rift actually says.
Okay, could very well be. Okay. Now,
is
Joel, and then I want to go on.
Is there any reason that Rashi died in Tfilin Shel Rosh and not Tfilin Shel Yad?
That is a great question. Why does Rashi say? Hold on. Where does Rashi say this?
Right.
Okay. So here, I think you could explain why he says my Rosho in two ways. If you want to know what I really think, and you're going to be disappointed in me, I really think it's just a technical point. Pause. One second. Hold on, Mike. Right? No, maybe I'm wrong. Hold on. Sir, the Salka Mirosho.
Shelyad is covered.
Maybe because Shelyad is covered.
I saw in Rishon Yehudah it also has the Shin Dalet Yud, which is exposed.
Mm-hmm. So why does he say Davka Shel Rosh is a?
Find that again.
Is a great question. It could be that, that really we're machalic between the Shel Yad and the Shel Rosh, because the Shel Rosh might be the Shem Hashem Nikra Alecha, right? Elu Tfilin Shel Rosh, and the Shel Rosh is a higher a higher level of Kedusha when you wear it. So to wear a Shel Yad with Keri Olav, okay, that's not so bad. That's not Shem Hashem Nikra Alecha. But to wear the Shel Rosh with the Shem Hashem Nikra Alecha with the Keri Olav is a bizayon. Okay, that the truth is that would be a big chiddush of a small Rashi, but it could be, because I thought I had a different explanation, but I don't.
The Shel Yad has just as many inside, the Shem Hashem inside, it brings down later. So it has the same, the outside maybe touching it with the same there's a box that's inside has the same shame as Shem inside.
I know, but there's a big difference between inside and outside. And also could be that, remember, we discussed this earlier in terms of the very intriguing Rambam Bat Tisha B'Av in Hilchos Tanios. It could be that in terms of the kiyum of making you, defining you as a gavra who's on the madrega of tefillin, that's what the Shel Rosh does more than the Shel Yad, in which case, if you're talking about the gavra not being roi, maybe it's only a problem with Shel Rosh. Okay, Chaim tells us that's in the Masifta.
No,
okay.
No, I saw it.
Okay, we say it. We're looking at Masifta.
But in any case, I mean, the rest of the Gemara, we see that when it's covered, it's a whole different ballgame, so...
According to one Risha.
Yeah,
okay. Okay, which is not Rashi. Yeah.
Why don't we simply say, what film you take off first? Rosh, that's what Rashi meant.
Okay, that's a good, that could be a technical explanation. You take off the Shel Rosh first, you always take off the Shel Rosh first, the halacha. Okay. I'm over there. Okay. Anyway, a third shita, just where we started, Tosos and the Rashi and Masechta Shabbos. Tosos argues on Rashi at the Keri, but he doesn't just go back to what Rishonim say here about the flatulence. What does he say? He says also two reasons. Shema Yafiach. Oh, what's the second reason? Exactly. Hesek Hadas. He says the problem of Hesek Hadas, taking off your tefillin, sleeping in your tefillin is a problem of Hesek Hadas, because this seems intuitive to us, that if you are asleep, then your das is not on your tefillin. Right, so it's a problem, Hesek Hadas. Now, the Ritva here even goes so far as to say, hold on a second. Why doesn't everyone agree with Tosos and the Rashba and Shabbos? After all, isn't it obvious? Meaning, I understand Shemi Yafiach. I mean, everyone happens to agree to that, but you could have said, maybe it'll happen, maybe it won't happen. Okay, everyone has to figure out the odds. Shemi Yirakeri. Maybe it's Usher, maybe it's not Usher Balkeri. And also, maybe Rechoshit will happen, maybe it won't. But Hesek Hadas, we know Hesek Hadas is Usher and Tefillin. The Gemara says you're chayv to master your tefillin called shah to always touch your tefillin because you're not allowed to take your mind off it. Kal v'chomer mitzitz. The tzitz, we darshan. The Kohen Gadol has to keep his mind in the tzitz because it has one shem Hashem, kodesh Hashem. So the tefillin has many, many shemas of Hashem. So of course you have to keep your mind on it. So we know hezkadas is aser, and we know that if you sleep, your mind is off the tefillin because your mind is in Never Never Land. So
it's not shema.
It's not even shema, right? Now, Tosfos might have said Shema because, you know, after all, how long is a Hesek Hadas? If you take your mind off for 1 second, not a Hesek Hadas, so maybe it depends how long you sleep. But clearly, if you sleep Keva at least, that's not even Shema. It's a Vade Hesek Hadas. So the Ritva here asks, hold on a second. Why doesn't everyone say it's because of Hesek Hadas? After all, it's Machrach, right? Achezki, I'm going to need your help. So I want to talk for 1 second here about Hesek Hadas and just say over the the Rav's Kiddush. As soon as Chesky gives me some more reads. So what does the Ritva here say? The Ritva here says, isn't it Mokrach Asur Mishum Hesek Hadas? And yet, he's fairly certain that the problem is not Hesek Hadas. So yes, why isn't it a problem of Hesek Hadas? I'll show you the way he asks it. He asks, One second. Someplace here. Perush Utmiya Milsa. Why aren't we worried about Hesek Hadas? And he says, and if we're worried about Hesek Hadas, we should ask for even Shana Sarai, right? Why do they even have a happening of distinguishing? Why isn't it an issue of Hesek Hadas? After all, Hesek Hadas should ask for even Shana Sarai. So let's see how we answer here. What does the Gemara here say? Because remember, Shana Sarai is Taka Mutter in Tefillin, right? We'll have to see exactly how it cheshbens out, but at least according to most Rishonim. So ask the Rishonim, why isn't Shana Asura because of Hesek Hadas? So one answer is Tosos and the Rashba in Shabbos. They say Enochanami, it is Usher because of Hesek Hadas. Enochanami, it is Usher because of Hesek Hadas. And if the Ritva will then ask, hold on, if it's Usher because of Hesek Hadas, shouldn't it be Usher even Arai? So the answer might be maybe only a long Hesek Hadas is Usher, not a short Hesek Hadas. Or Tosos and the Rashba and Shabbos actually said that Shana Sarai is also Usher. That was the lashon of Tosfos Masechet Shabbos. He says Zaser bein keva bein arai. So just to get rid of the Ritva's kasha, as a little parenthesis here, they have to either say a short Pesach Hadas is okay, or that even Shenas Arai is Usser, and the truth is both Tosfos and the Rashba and Shabbos say Shenas Arai is Usser, so they have no attack, right? If you say, if it's Usser, Pesach Hadas, shouldn't even 1 minute be Usser? Tosfos and the Rashba say Taka 1 minute is Usser, or you could say a minute of Pesach Hadas is Mutter. It's only 10 minutes of Pesach Hadas that's Usser. Okay, but the Ritva says differently. What does the Ritva say? The Ritva says that Shena is not called Hesach Hadas. But after all, why is Shena not Hesach Hadas? Don't we know that you're not thinking about tefillin? I don't know, maybe some of you are in a madriga. When you sleep, you dream about tefillin. But most people are not dreaming about tefillin when they sleep. As a matter of fact, often people don't dream at all when they sleep. I don't know, there's a whole science. When do you dream, when do you not dream, right? And some of people dream about other things when they sleep also. They dream about the stock market, whatever it is.
They're dreaming about Shemayim, and they're answering.
Okay, which may or may not be valid. We're not going to get into that now.
The system is off when you're sleeping. And there's no such thing as Hesach Hadas or not Hesach Hadas.
Okay, good. But you could say that in one of two ways. What does the Ritva say? The Ritva says, there's no positive requirement of Das on Tefillin. What's the Isser of Hesach Hadas? The Isser of Hadas is to think about Divrei Chol. There's no Isser to not think about your Tefillin. There's only an Isser to think about Divrei Chol. That's the Chiddush of the Ritva. What's the Chiddush? The Chiddush is that there's no positive chiyuv to think about filling, just an iser to be mesiach dato ledivrei chol. And therefore, the Ritva explains, how come every morning unless we're going to say roll over yonim, every morning we put on our tefillin and daven. Now, let's take best case scenario. I'm going to don everyone here l'chaf z'chus. When we're davening, we're not thinking about the stock market.
No.
But still, we're normal people. When we're davening, we're thinking about the words of the tefillah we're saying. We're not thinking about our tefillin. If I'm in the middle of the halalukas, I'm not thinking, best case scenario, right? I'm not thinking about my tefillin in the halalukas. I'm thinking about what it says in the Halalukas, about the Taninim and the Kol Tehomos and the Itzfri and the Arada, all the things, and all the things Hashem does, and what he does for the Gerim, and the Yosef Almana, I'm thinking about David said, and I'm thinking about the Kriyas Yamsov when I get to Oz Yashir. But I'm not thinking about Tefillin, and Kriyashma reminds me, Sharta. So he says, isn't that a problem? I'm not thinking about Tefillin, or I'm listening to the landing this morning, where I'm thinking of the story of Noah's Ark. I'm not thinking about Tefillin. No, I didn't wear Tefillin in the Ark. I'm thinking about it says in the Chumash. I'm learning Torah. It's a big mitzvah to learn Torah, right? Even the Chumash is a mitzvah to learn, not only Gemara. So the Ritva says, isn't that a Hesach Hadas? So he answers, no, that's not a Hesach Hadas. A Hesach Hadas is only if you think about Divrei Chol. To be Zoyim to Tefillin, to think about Divrei Chol. But as long as you're not thinking about Divrei Chol, you don't have to think about the Tefillin. It's okay to think about the Tefillin. It's okay to think about Divrei Kedusha. Or it's okay to think about nothing. As long as you don't think about Divrei Chol,
You don't think about nothing when you're sleeping. You don't.
I'm not such a scientist. I don't know what people do when they're sleeping, but they're not Mesiach Dat Le Divrei Chol.
They're not thinking about the Tefillin unless they're on this madriga that you're talking about.
No, and it's okay as long as they're not thinking about Divrei Chol. That's okay, and sleeping doesn't count as thinking about Divrei Chol. Even if you dream, that's not thinking.
Someone's going to fill in these spaces out. That's being Mesiach Das.
That's fine for the Ritva. It's fine for the Ritva to space out as long as you don't start thinking about the stock market.
No, you're sitting down with Tefillin and you just start spacing out.
That's fine for the Ritva.
About the stock market. No. You can't space out about nothing.
I have no idea. I'm not a bucket. Okay. Lomashana, we're saying the same thing in different ways. 1 second, I'll come. I just want to point out, this Ritva, by the way, is a good kula. According to this Ritva, at least, Like, we would think, oh, you have to think about your tefillin the whole time. That's so hard to think about your tefillin the whole time. We said, you don't think about your tefillin the whole time. Just think about Kedusha the whole time. The Rav, he wants to say better. He wants to say, maybe thinking about Kedusha counts as thinking about tefillin. Because the whole point of tefillin is, Lamanti, a Torah, Hashem Beficha, is that you should think about Torah. Thinking about Torah is thinking about tefillin. But even you don't go so far. Now, of course, if you start thinking about the stock market, it's still in the favor according to the Ritva. So, Rabbi Yonah in Brachos, right, he's instead of the Ran on the side of the Rif. Okay, Talmid Rabbi Yonah, they say nowadays. And the Rush in Brachos, who quotes Rabbi Yonah, the Rush very often quotes Rabbi Yonah. He was a big time Rabbi Yonah. The Rush and the Rabbi Yonah in Brachos are more meekle than that. And they say, hold on a second, forget about us nowadays. How about this? A fascinating question. The kasha is, don't we forget our tefillin when we think about davening? So the Ritva says it's okay for thinking about Divrei Kedusha. The Rosh Menino says, forget about us. How about the old days? In the old days, they went to work in tefillin. Right? So the farmer, whatever farmers do, he plowed and sowed and reaped and threshed and winnowed and, you know, I actually know what these things are. I can tell you later if you want. But he did all these things in tefillin. Isn't that usher? So, now, what would the Ritva say back? I think what the Ritva would say back to Rabbi Yonah, the Ritva says, you know, let's think about the Rit Chol. I think what the Ritva would say back is, you don't understand the old days. In the old days, they were in the Madriga, Shavisi Hashem L'Negi Talmud. Remember what the Rambam says. The Rambam says, I don't know how realistic this is for most people nowadays, even for B'nai Torah nowadays. The Rambam says, what does it mean to go to work? It means you go to work and a little bit of your brain is thinking about the store, but you're really thinking about Hashem and thinking about sugyas and thinking about theology and thinking about all kinds of olam selyone. The Rambam actually thinks that it's a reasonable thing for someone to do, that they go to work all day in an office and they're, you know, counting all day and calculating numbers and Excel spreadsheet all day, but really they're not hardly paying attention to them. They're really thinking about Hashem. So I think the Ritva would say, you know why they used to work tefillin all day in the old days? Because they were on a madriga where they were on the farm, but they were really thinking about Hashem. It's a very high madriga for us. And the Ritva would say, I know, that's why we don't live in the old days. But in the old days, they were in that, I mean, it's not a kasha to say, oh, that madriga doesn't make sense to me. Say, I know it doesn't make sense to you, that's because you live nowadays, but in the old days, they were on a madriga where it made sense. And the Ritva might go so far as to say that, and it could be, it doesn't mean everyone wore tefillin all day in the old days. Maybe only the very stark people wore tefillin in the old days, who were Mekayim Shivisi Hashem L'Negdi Tumid. I think that's what Ritva would have to say about the old days, because Imamish thinks it's usher to think about Divrei Chol and tefillin. So he would have to have a very high opinion of people in the old days. Give me a second. But what does Rabbi Yonah say? Right, Rabbi Yonah says, almost the... Rabbi Yonah and the Rush are so far the same thing. Right? Oh, sorry. This part is in Meisiyach Das LaDivrei Chol Al Liba to the Ritva, or it's even mutter to think about Divrei Chol. Nah, the Rabbi Yonah. Well, we know the Rabbi Yonah. He was a big Baal Musar, but he was a realistic Baal Musar. He says even in the old days they weren't on that madrig of Shisha Shem the Tavim. Maybe a couple people in every city. Even in the old days, when they went to work, they didn't think about Divrei Chol. But you know what? This is something even nowadays someone could do. And just imagine, even, I bet what Rabbi Yonah is saying, just to avoid Schok Bekalas Rosh, even a person nowadays could do all day if they threw out all their media devices. I bet you could do it, right? He says it's even much to think about Divrei Chol. It's just usher lehasiach dato lischok. Vikalis Rosh. Now I know some people under the generation nowadays will say, I don't even think a guy can go to work all day without schok Vikalis Rosh, but I think that's reasonable. If you ask a historian, say thousands of years ago, was it easier if you worked hard? Could you work all day without schok Vikalis Rosh? Yes, life was very serious then. People took things very seriously. You know, when going to work every day means. Back in the old days, and going to work every day meant you weren't sure if you had enough food to eat at the end of the day, so you were very serious about it. The time was Chol Kekalas Rosh. You know, it was a hard life then. So therefore, he'd say, that's why in the old days, the world days, even the right, you were even allowed to think about the stock market and tefillin. He's not saying mitzvah mufkar to think about the stock market, but it's mutter to think about the stock as long as you don't do schok v'chalas rosh. What are you not allowed to do in tefillin? You're not allowed to joke around. You're not allowed to, you know, you're not allowed to do things which, you know, it's a reasonable expectation that someone shouldn't do all day in tefillin. And say easy, but reasonable. That's just a fascinating machlokas here, how high madriga were they in the old days, which the Ritva doesn't say, but if you contrast it with Rabbeinu Yonah, so it's the same basic mahalach. You don't have to think about your tefillin, just don't think about bad things. The question is, how do you define bad? The Ritva says, it's also think about divrei chol, which explains nowadays, bimikra hatov, and you have to put people in the old days on high madriga. Rabbeinu Yonah says, no, you just have to avoid schok v'kalas rosh. I think most of us are good at avoiding schok v'kalas rosh in tefillin nowadays. You know, like, maybe there's some guys who are real bums who do it, but I think most of us, it's not so hard to avoid for an hour in chakras schok v'kalas rosh. And in the old days, they avoided all day schok v'kalas rosh, which I think was easier because they had a more serious environment, bechlal, in the old days. They, life was very difficult. It was easier to have a serious attitude.
The idea of Yonah was very much musser. And his hope, maybe what he's saying is that you have to understand why people are going to work. Are you going to work because you want to learn Torah, you want to buy a new Mercedes? If the Rabbeinu Yonah holds that you go to work because you want to be able to learn the kind of mitzvahs, that's what he's talking about.
Rare, no, and I know, Morty, you're a beautiful neshama.
I just think that
is it really true that everyone 2,000 years ago went to work in order to learn Torah? Maybe, depends, you know, but that's a chish. Halavai, okay, fine. No, I think divrei chol means anything that's not mitzvah oriented, like business and, you know, regular, you know, so elections, politics.
What about, like, meaning about what you're going to have for lunch?
I think that's divrei chol for the Ritva. Yeah, I think lunch is divrei chol for the Ritva. You know, if I know what I'm having for lunch, I know I'm having a granola bar, I just have spent the last 8 months thinking about my bracha, that's divrei kedusha. But if I know I'm making a hamotzi, I'm just thinking about whether to put salami in my sandwich or tuna fish in my sandwich, then that's divrei chol.
Tosfos and Safin, who says that we don't say another direct to the Torah because all day we're thinking about our sugyas. So would he have assumed that we're all on this level, this high level?
Okay. That's a complicated question. I don't know if I can answer that on regular achas, because it depends whether the meaning of Hesek Hadas there is the same as the meaning of Hesek Hadas here. And maybe Tosa just means that we never plan to stop learning all day. Like there, it's similar to Hilchos Brachos. Like, what does it mean that I'm not Mesiach Daito from cucumbers? Right? I don't have to make another, after two cucumbers, I don't have to say Hadama on the next cucumbers. I wasn't Mesiach Das. I don't think it means you have to think about cucumbers. It just means you have to still be planning to eat more cucumbers. So maybe those means we're always planning to learn more Torah, not that we're thinking about it now, and that might be a different realm.
I'm not planning to leave sukkah forever. I'm planning to go back at the end of the day. But he still says you have to make a new issue.
Okay. Sorry. You know what? Sorry, you don't have to think about it. It's a good question. Okay, give me a sec. Yeah?
Yeah. The Rambam himself is much more machmir than this Ritva and the Hilchos Tefillin.
Okay. So give me a second. Give me a second. The Rav, 1 second, was bothered by the Rambam. Why? The Rambam's lashon. Now, the truth is that often, you know, there's a lot of different ways of interpreting the Rambam. But the Rambam says in Hilchos Tefillin, he says, you can't take your mind off them even a moment. He makes it sound like you mamish have to keep your mind on it.
Yeah.
And like you mamish have to keep your mind on it. No, that's halacha
yudalit. In chaf hey, it's even stronger.
In chaf hey, he says kedushas tefillin is so great. Although he doesn't say hesra das here. Anyway. The Rambam sounds like there's a positive requirement of Hesek Hadas.
Yeah, right.
And yet, the Rambam says, the reason that it's usher to sleep is because of Shema Yafiach. So the Rambam doesn't sound like Tosfos. He doesn't say the Isser is Hesek Hadas. He says the Isser is because of flatulence. But he doesn't sound like the Ritva and reading in the Rush. He sounds like your mom should have to think about tefillin.
Right.
So the Rambam, you're in trouble. Right. So just to be fair, there are some Mefarshim who say the Rambam really meant like Tosfos. The Aruch Haner said he really agrees with Tosfos. That it's because of this passing gas and because of Hesek Hadas. He just didn't say so. And the Rabbeinu, the Rush sounds like he really agrees with Rabbeinu Yonah. He didn't mean you have to think about your children. He just meant you shouldn't think that's chok v'kalas rosh. So there's a lot of wiggle room in the Rambam. But the Rav said no. The Rambam is a third approach. He really thinks the positive requirement to think about tefillin, and yet that's not the reason it's also to sleep. So what does the Rav say? The Rav says a very poshut thing. Let me just put him up here because he's in the room. Says the Rav. The Rav says, Bidas HaRambam. And this is shout of the Rambam. You do need an answer. After all, he sounds like your mom should need to think about tefillin, and yet he sounds like that's not the reason it's also to sleep. But why shouldn't that be the reason it's also to sleep? So says the Rav that there is a positive chiyuv to think about tefillin. But, and here the Rav makes a positive observation, why is there a positive mitzvah to think about tefillin? Is it because it's a bizoyun of tefillin to not think of them? Doesn't sound like it. Like, it might be bizoyun of tefillin to put in the bathroom, to be undressed in front, etc. But, like, is it damaging the chetza shel tefillin to not think of them? Doesn't seem to be. After all, if the chetza tefillin's on the table, I don't have to think about them. Says the Rav, there's a positive requirement to think of them. But not for shmiras kedushas tefillin. Rather, for kiyum mitzvahs tefillin. It's part of the kiyum mitzvahs tefillin you have to think about them. Why? Because the Rambam says, here I'll quote the Halacha Chaf Hei, he says, kedushas tefillin is so great. How great is kedushas tefillin? That as long as you're wearing tefillin, you're an anav, and you're a shemayim, and you don't have spoken sichel b'teila, and you don't have machshavos rose, and your whole heart is only interested in divrei emes v'tzedek. Says the Rambam, the kedushas tefillin is that you have to transform yourself by wearing tefillin. In which case, says the Rav, something very pashut. There is a positive chiyuv to think about tefillin. But that chiyuv is part of the mitzvahs hanochas tefillin. And if so what, then the Rav just says a simple thing. When you're awake and mekayim mitzvah hanochas tefillin, you have to be mekayim it properly. But when you're asleep, you're not mekayim the mitzvah anyway. Now, here you have a big machlokah. Are you mekayim mitzvahs when you're sleeping, right? Sukkah seems to be the rest raya, that you are mekayim mitzvah when you're sleeping. What do you mean? The big mitzvah is to sleep in the sukkah. Unless you want to be very creative and answer Tosas Kasha, why we make a bracha nachila, not shena, because you can't be mekayim mitzvah when you're sleeping.
Some of the says the mitzvah is to go to sleep, not to be asleep.
Which would be support this, right? So it's very unclear whether you're chayiv mitzvah when you're sleeping. The matter of fact, even achlokas achronim, whether you're chayiv in mitzvahs when you're sleeping. This comes up in Siman Nun Vav. Can a sleeping guy count for a minion? Maybe not, because he's not chayiv b'davar. So the Rav assumed that you can't be mekayim mitzvahs when you're sleeping. You can't be. You're not mekayim mitzvahs when you're sleeping. So it says the Rav very poshut. But a yoshein is not mekayim the mitzvah anyway. So therefore, there is no need for daito al tefillah. It says, yes, you have a positive chiyuv to think about your tefillin, but that's only when you're mekayim the mitzvah of tefillin. If you're mekayim the mitzvah of tefillin, you have to mekayim it properly and keep your mind on your tefillin. However, when you're sleeping, you're not mekayim the mitzvah anyway. And if you're not mekayim the mitzvah, then it does lo malav lo morid if your mind is on your tefillin. Because it's not part of the chetzah shel tefillin. It's part of the mitzvah tefillin. And therefore, when you're asleep and you're pachet in the mitzvah tefillin, and you're not mekayim the mitzvah tefillin, therefore, there's no problem with hesach hadas, because the requirement of hesach hadas is only when you're mekayim the mitzvah. That's the rub's finish.
So figure out, if I'm wearing tefillin and I'm awake and I'm a siach das, that's even on purpose in the riot. Am I over anything? No.
It's not that I'm over anything. But I have now not been mekayim the mitzvah properly.
Fine, but there's nothing negative that I did.
It's not worse than not wearing tefillin. Correct. That's the Rav's chiddush. It's no worse than not wearing tefillin. Yeah, which makes sense. You don't have to say that. That's the Rav's chiddush. Yes, that's his chiddush. Exactly. Okay. That's a very technical question because it could. Probably not for one of two reasons. Either number one, it may be that if you're Mesiach Das, it's still a partial mitzvah, it's just not a proper mitzvah, l'chatchila. Or it could be that even if it's not a mitzvah at all when you're Mesiach Das, since you don't do Numaisa when you think about it again, therefore you don't make a bracha. This goes to the whole question of whether you make a bracha on the Maisa mitzvah or the Kiyah mitzvah, which Ayin and Arvei Pesachim, the whole machlokis about, you know, whether you have to say the bracha when you have a mind to be Yotzei or when you don't have a mind to be Yotzei and not, or so get out.
Isn't that circular? Because then you could say during the day when you're up and you start thinking about something else, you're not Makayim the mitzvah. So if you're not Makayim the mitzvah, you don't have to worry about the Hezach Hadas.
It's not circular. What I'm saying is that the Hezach Hadas is not an Aveira, it's a lack of mitzvah.
Okay,
so therefore, as long as it's on, you have to be Makayim the mitzvah as much as you can. Meaning, you're right. What I'm saying is that if you're Mesiach Das, it's no worse than just taking your tefillin off for 10 minutes. So what the Rambam is saying is that as long as your tefillin are on, you should be mishtadel to do the mitzvah as much as you can. Right. For the Rambam, keeping your mind on tefillin, it's not evil to take your mind off tefillin. It's just the more you keep your mind on tefillin, the more mitzvah. Why do you want to miss out on mitzvahs? But if you're asleep, you have to miss out on mitzvahs when you're asleep.
But like that, so if you decide you want to think about the stock market, you're not kind of mitzvah.
Exactly. According to this shot in the Rambam, if I want to think about the stock market, then I can do it with or without my tefillin. It's equal. As opposed to the Ritva. Correct. That's the Chiddush of the Rav. I mean, he doesn't say all this, but this is how I'm hallucinating.
Yosef has been mafric me. Not necessarily the rub, because I'm not, you know, I added too many words there.
So you're right. Yosef pointed out that the Rambam says if someone's distraught, they shouldn't wear tefillin, which is against what I just said to.
Yeah, not necessarily, because someone, maybe if he's mistaken, more chance that he's going to be begotten of the use of the tefillin, because there's mind as a little bit. No, sure, there is.
There's still other things you can do that are terrible. If he's like hafacha and like besakise. I think the answer is no. Okay, you're right that I think I tried to work it out and make it too nice. The Rav still says things, says the Rav, that you do have to think davka about tefillin the whole time. And the Rambam would then say, if you have to think about tefillin the whole time, then what about when you're thinking about davening, etc.? So you either say you're also thinking about your tefillin and you're good at thinking about many things, or you would say davening counts as thinking about tefillin because tefillin is Torah Hashem b'ficha, so Torah counts thinking about tefillin. And if you ask the Rambam, of course, what about when you go to work? He says, I already wrote. When you go to work, you're really thinking about Hashem. So you do have to keep your tefillin the whole time, but only b'shas kiyum mitzvah tefillin and a yoshein is not Mekayim mitzvah tefillin.
Why?
So therefore, because he assumes that when you're sleeping, you can't do Mekayim mitzvah. That's what it sounds like.
Okay.
Which many have grown in Paskin. Anyway, okay, so now exactly how to get it to work out, you know, maybe it won't be as neat as I said before.
No, but it still be a pagam and kedushas of the tefillin.
No, he thinks there's only a requirement to think about the tefillin when you're Mekayim the mitzvah. When you're Mekayim the mitzvah tefillin, you have to think about them.
No,
but if you're not Mekayim the mitzvah, you don't have to think about them.
But I thought what Yossi was saying is that the Rambam sounds like it's a pagam, like a mitzvah. You shouldn't
put it's a pagam when you're Mekayim the mitzvah tefillin. So mitzvah shouldn't put them on, because then while he's doing the mitzvah, he'll take his mind off them.
But when I understand you...
Unlike what I said in the last few sentences.
I thought pagam meant, though, is that not that it's not a positive, it's that it's a negative. Like, you're supposed to be Mekayim the mitzvah tefillin. And you're not, and that's negative because not that that. Oh,
yes, it's negative. While you're Mekayim the mitzvah tefillin, it's negative to take your mind off it at all.
So
but if you're sleeping, then it's okay because you're not Mekayim the mitzvah.
But I don't know why are you being Mekayim? Like, I mean, but being Mefiach when one is asleep, then that's.
Yes, because that's a bizayin of the chefta of tefillin, not a bizayin of the mitzvah.
Okay,
I will leave it at that and go on.
You say the realm.
Meaning is similar to the Ritva. Hesnadas only thinking about something else.
Right, why is that like difficult to run up?
Right, okay, Seder.
I would say, that why would you pot there a Messiah to say, put on tefillin and then
Right, so it must be that it's a negative.
Yeah, I agree with you.
Okay.
When you have
all right. Anyway, Kitzer, it could be the Rambam. Chesky saying, let's not get too sidetracked. Chesky saying, could be the Rambam's really like the Ritva. He only means also to think about something else. You don't have to think about tefillin. You're just not allowed to think about something else. That's a bizarre. Or the Rav says, no, you have to think about tefillin. Not thinking about tefillin is a pagam. But it's only a pagam when you're doing the mitzvah of tefillin to not think about the mitzvah you're doing. That's a pagam, and that makes it not worth it. But if you're not doing the mitzvah, then it's okay. That's the Rav's chiddush. You can take it or leave it. I am ready to move on.
Didn't the Rav say that it's talking about any, even Torah? I think it was like
The Rav says even Torah counts as thinking about tefillin, because the whole point of tefillin is Torah.
So how come you can't go like Rav Lipsky was very fond of quoting the Rambam in the Tshuva to Avad Yagir, where he says, with whole mouth sleeping the altar, and the whole yard shemayim.
No, he meant something else by that. That's not fair. He meant something else by that, but I'm not going to get into it now. Okay, let's get back to our Gemara. What does our Gemara say? Remember, we had the Stira. Now we figured out the three pshatim why it's also the word tefillin when you're asleep. Now the question is, what are the details? So remember, the Gemara says there are three cases. There was Naket B'yade, Manchi B'reshe, and Parasudri Lave. Naket B'yade, Manchi B'reshe, and Paris. Sudra, Ilafe, you put a sudra on it. But which case, the Gemara doesn't say which case is which. The order doesn't work out. Which case is Aser Ben Kevin Arai? Which case is Motor Ben Kevin Arai? And which case is Aser Arai, Aser Kevin Motor Arai? And why? So almost all the Rishonim say, what do almost all the Rishonim say? Who did I put here on the Makorah sheet? I put Rashi, I put Rabbeinu Hananel, I put the Tosos Rid. And I could have added the Balamor and the Ravid are in brackets, and the Ron says the same, and the Ra'ah and the Me'iri. Almost all the Rishonim say. What's the first shot? Rashi and most Rishonim. That what's the Gedukah B'yadeh is which case?
No rope.
Is what?
No rope.
Exactly. Aser Afilu Arai. And Manchi B'reishi is what case? Arai is mutter, and keva is aser. And then, by cross elimination, parasudra is mutter afilu keva. Why are these things true? So naket biyade, why is it aser, even arai? You have to, you're holding it in your hand. What's the problem? You're not, you're not wearing the tefillin at all. So what's the problem?
They drop them.
Exactly. Then you might drop. If they're on your head, you can't drop them. But in your everyone knows when you're asleep, you drop what's in your hands. So this is aser afilu arai because of a chash nefila. And the chash nefila, even arai, right? Everyone knows. If you nod off for 1 second, right? Right? If you take notes with the pen and shear, when you nod off for even 1 minute, you drop your pen. Right? Baduk umnusa. So chash nefila is afilu b'shenas arai. That makes perfect sense. Okay, what about manchi b'reishe? What's the chash there, the mainstream shita? Is that the chash is shema yafiach, right? So, the chash shema yafiach is only b'shenas keva. Okay, I'm not a doctor, I haven't done the investigation, but it makes sense to me that if you sleep a little, you're not going to end up flatulating. You have to sleep for a bit in order to flatulate. Okay, I'll take their word for it, because I never did any medical research on this. What's the case of parasudra alei? What is the case of parasudra alei?
Put it by your head.
So here we have two pshatim. One pshat is everyone, and one pshat is the Tosfos Rid. Right? What does everyone say it means? Rashi, what's the case? The case is Rashi and most Rishonim say, what does it mean it's under a sudar?
It's wrapped up in
it. It's wrapped up in a sudar, and where is it?
Near your head.
Under your pillow, not under your head, Chas v'Shalom. You're not allowed to put your head, even Princess and the Pea. Right. You're not allowed to put your head on top of the tefillin, even through the pillow. But you're allowed to put your head here in the pillow, put the tefillin on the side of the pillow, right? That protects it. If really you don't want to leave that tefillin in the middle of the street. So that's what Rashi says there someplace, right? He nichab eitzel rashoso, by your head. That's fine as long as you cover them, right? So what does Rashi say? Rashi says that where's the tefillin? Meaning, let's say better. Where are they? Where are the tefillin? Rashi will be shown them say, under his pillow. And then that's Motor Bain Cave Minarai. Right. After all, the guy's got to sleep. How do you sleep, right? You have to sleep somehow. So how do you sleep? Let's say you don't have any place to keep your tefillin and you have to go to sleep. What do you do? So you take it off and you don't chas v'shalom lie down on it, but you don't chas v'shalom leave it half covered for people to step on and kick around the room. So therefore, you put it under your pillow, not where your head is, and it's mutter. And the Rishonim are going to explain. And the chiddush is, you might have thought it should be usur because maybe you'll turn over and lie on your tefillin. You just have to do the most reasonable thing. The most reasonable thing, if you're tired and you don't have your tefillin zekel and you don't have a chest of drawers or someplace nice to put your tefillin, you know, you're stopped camping out on the side of the road in a sleeping bag. What do you do with your tefillin? So the most respectful thing is to put it under your pillow, not where your head is, and that's the best you can do. That's perfectly fine. Very reasonable.
Isn't there a difference he brings down between if it's wrapped up, it's in a closed thing, or it's just covered? It's two separate...
Rashi?
You can read, not from Rashi, but it's implied from some of these guys that there is a difference in those two. It's just because if it falls...
Okay, we're not to falling yet. Hold on, maybe you're thinking of the rib. Says the rib, he says, where are the tefillin? He says, where's the tefillin? In your hand. He says the tefillin's in your hand. If the tefillin's in your hand, then how does the sudar help? He says it's in your hand, but wrapped in a cloth. And then what's his chiddush? His chiddush is, what's the chiddush that comes out of Tosas Rid? Don't we know in your hand it's going to fall? The answer is, it's not usher for it to fall if it's in the zekel. It's only usher to drop the tefillin. I mean, obviously I'm not saying chakila, but it's only usher for the tefillin to fall if they're not wrapped up in the zekel. But if they're wrapped up in something, then it's not disrespectful for them to fall, and that's basically the chiddush. The chiddush is that... there's no problem of nefila if they are wrapped up. If they are wrapped in a cloth, which is what we call the tefillin zekel, meaning if you accidentally drop your tefillin in the container on the floor, then that's no problem. And taka, I don't know, there's no such thing as how do we possibly have shot in this Gemara, is because we could possibly like many shots in this Gemara. But we actually postulate the Tosos Rid, that even though if you drop your tefillin, you should fast, or whatever people do nowadays, etc., say the poskim that if you drop your tefillin when they're in a container, then that's not a problem. Although, as a chumrah, you should give a little tzedakah. Not the amount of tzedakah you would give instead of fasting. You should give a pruta to tzedakah just to be on the safe side. But me'ikra, didn't we postulate the Tosos Rid? It's not a problem. So that's two different pshatim here. Okay. What? A Sefer Torah is very different. That, if you look in the Shomer, it says, unlike a Sefer Torah, which even if it falls in a container is a big, big, big problem, tefillin, if they fall in a container, is not a problem. Okay, that's what the post can say. This is the pshat of Rashi and Rov Rishonim. However, who is the other pshat, of course?
Rambam.
The Rambam. Says the Rambam. Says the Rambam, Nakat B'yadeh is what case? Is?
I don't know.
No, what's the din? Sorry. Is mutter, usser, depends? Mutter, afilu, keva. Monkey bereshe is? Usser, afilu, arai. And parasudra, what's the case? Where are they?
They're covered.
Exactly, they are on you. Right, neither of these pshatim. You're wearing them. But you cover them with a cloth. You're wearing them and you cover them with a cloth. Yeah, you're wearing them on you, but covered. We know normally the halach is you're not supposed to cover your tefillin shel rosh, right? It has to be visible, right? But you cover them with a cloth because you're very tired. In that case, arai is mutter and keva is usur. Are there any other Rishonim who might agree with the Rambam? This is a big discussion in the Akronim, which I didn't put on the sheet. Tosfos, and especially the Rashba and Shabbos, both say that when you're wearing it, it's usher bein keva bein arai, which sounds like the Rambam. The Rashba is very explicit. Look what he says. He says, I'll just read you one line of the Rashba. Usher lishan bein shenas keva bein shenas arai, chudetani basukah in our sugya, umokmin lahasan demanche areshe. What's the case where it's Asher Ben Keva Ben Arai? That's the case of Mancha Reshe. It's very explicit. Mancha Reshe is Asher Ben Keva Ben Arai, like the Rambam, against everyone else. And Tosos and Shabbos is not quite as explicit, but also says it's Asher Ben Keva Ben Arai, and it seems to be talking about Mancha Reshe. Now, just because they're like the Rambam in one column doesn't prove they're like the Rambam in all the columns, right? We can't prove it. It could be they're like him and they would switch these two. We don't know.
The Riff also was like that, right? The Maisa, they hold that way. It doesn't mean that...
The Riff just doesn't... Why? The Riff?
Because the Riff, the Maisa holds his Tosfos and take a chance to ride its filling on, but that could be because of the way... Because he has the Mashmos and the Sugi and Shabbos.
Correct. That's about more of the riding deal. So we're not... So Tosfos and the Riding... So we're not sure. Meaning, I was saying we're not sure just because they agree with the Rambam about one column. Maybe they would switch the other two. And Yosef says... It could actually be just they agree with the Rambam about one column. Maybe it's because they don't pass like this Gemara, like the Rif, perhaps doesn't pass like this Gemara. So as the Balmor points out. Okay, so that's a good point. So we'll say the Ulai, maybe Tosos and the Rashba and Shabbos, you know, there's really no way to prove. They don't say too much, maybe. But we have the Rambam, so Lemaisa, if it's the sheep of the Rambam, maybe it is the sheep of someone else, maybe not. But either way, we have to understand it because it's the sheep of the Rambam. Let's take it one step at a time. Mutra filu keva. Why, if it's in your hand, is it mutra filu keva? Aren't you worried it might fall? So, the Rambam, here it's interesting. The Migdal Oz at the bottom says, he just has a very short line. And the Migdal Oz says that we're not worried about nefila. Maybe we're not worried about nefila. Maybe we don't think you'll drop things when you sleep. After all, you know, it's not so posh it whether you'll drop something when you sleep or not. It might depend. I just gave you the raya. No, depends. There you weren't planning on falling asleep. What if I hold something tightly and I say I'm going to take a nap holding this? Maybe I won't drop it. Not so clear. So, says the Migdal Oz, he says, lo choshishim linefila. Then he gets into a little trouble. Isn't there another brisa elsewhere that says that you can't sleep holding your tefillin? And then he deals with it. But the Kesef Mishnah sounds like, it's explicitly achronim, that what did everyone say here? The Rambam used an extra lashon. What was the Rambam's extra lashon? Kruchin biyado. What does kruchin biyado mean? So you might say it just means wrapped up and in your hand. But no, not wrapped up and in your hand. Wrapped around your hand, meaning you put your tefillin in your hand and then you wrap the straps around your hand, then of course it can't fall. It's tied to your hand. Right? So that's the most achronim assume, right? The Kesef Mishnah, the Ode assumes that the heter is only if it's tied onto your hand. I don't mean, obviously, tied onto your hand like over here, like Ukshakta Losal Yadecha. I mean tied onto your hand like you put the bias in your hand and then you wrap the straps around like this, only in your hand, so it's not a kiyum mitzvah, it's not in the right place. And then, of course, you can't fall because it's just like tying to your hand with a string. Okay, then it makes perfect sense that, of course, you can't fall and it's heter gomer.
Is there any Esra Afacha if you just move the tefillin from where they're supposed to be?
We normally assume not. Okay. Yeah. Okay, which would, yeah.
Or else they could mean, instead of the proof from Yadda like that, they could mean that they're wrapped up and then they'd be the rich. Right? In this case. Same idea, that it's not a problem. If it were to fall, enough anami might fall, it's not a problem.
Correct. You could say that also. Okay. That the second place. Asra filo arai, what's the pashup shot? The pashup shot would be that the chash shema yafiyach is even. B'shenas arai. Like I said, I'm not a doctor. I don't really know. Could be even someone sleeps b'shenas arai might flatulate. I don't know. I have to go. Next time I see people sleeping, I'll stay by them and see how long it takes them to pass gas. This, of course, is the interesting one. It's on your head, but you put a cloth on it. If it's on your head, but you put a cloth on it, how does that change anything? It's still on your head. How does it change anything to put a cloth on it? This is the Mechudesh Svara. Right here, we have a real question. The question is, what difference does a Sudar make? And here we have three different interpretations, at least. What does the Kesef Mishnah say? How does the Sudar help?
To remind you.
It reminds you not to flatulate. It reminds you not to pass gas. Kesef Mishnah. So, A is the Kesef Mishnah. It's that. It's Mazkiro... Shalom lahafiyach. It reminds him not to pass gas. Now, here it's a little tricky. He's doing a Shenas Arai, right? So he's a Shenas Arai, but a Shenas Arai, he would pass gas. But when he has a cloth on his head, it reminds him not to pass gas. I'm a little misunderstanding the Metzius. Really, if I do a Shenas Arai, I'm going to remember I have a cloth on my head and remember not to pass gas? Maybe.
It sounds a little bit like going to the Shematim with the sacred colors in your hand if you have two coverings.
Okay, hold on. But that's right. That's not what the Kesef Mishnah says. Okay, but that's what you could say, right? So the Kesef Mishnah, look, it's a good shot. I mean, it's a shot that seems to fit the evidence. You want to know why it's mutter and arai because of suder? Because an arai, a suder will remind you. Keva, the suder won't remind you. Come on, you're sleeping 8 hours. The suder's not going to remind you. But arai, the suder's enough to remind you. My only problem is that I'm just not convinced it works. I don't know. Like, if I'm sleeping arai, is the magna suder going to... maybe, who knows? Okay, that's against the mission. It's certainly not pashut.
It's not necessarily the fact that it's on you that will remind you. The fact that before you go to sleep, you're putting something on you, you make a conscious
Okay, maybe that's the point, that since you did something special before you went to sleep, that already puts you in your subconscious, even while you're sleeping, not to pass gas. Okay, I like Yosef's shot. It's still a chiddush, but maybe. Okay, that's the first shot. The second shot you could say is, now it's interesting, the Migdal Oz here says two things.
How would that possibly work?
I don't understand. Like, let's say I want to wake up at 4 a.m., right? So before I go to sleep, I think I want to wake up at 4 a.m., and then I wake up at 4 a.m., right? And if I thought I wanted to wake up at 6:30 a.m., then I would have woken up at 6:30 a.m., no? Yeah, what do you think before you go to sleep? You remember? No?
Oh, she can't, oh, she love.
It works, I'm telling you, it works 90% of the time.
But it's for a ride, it's not for
okay. Oh, okay, and he points out it's only for a ride.
If you think about that, that's but you don't know that you're not, it's not, the whole problem with a ride is that am I coming through it?
No, that was a discussion on Gemara. That's not necessarily in the round. Okay, anyway, yesh la'ayin. Okay, let's move on. The other pshat, which is half what the Megillah says, and which is what the Prisha says, and he exactly takes the exact same comparison. The Prisha on the side of the Torah and others say, it's like a chatzitza for the tefillin. It's blocking the tefillin. When you block the tefillin, it shows a little covet. It's showing respect for the tefillin, as the Megillah says. The Migdal Oz says, again, I'm not quite sure how to get what he totally means. He says a lot of things. Harichile covered l'kedusha son. After all, he showed respect to the Kedusha Tefillin. Right? Everyone knows you show respect for, sometimes you're a rabbi, you walk in someplace not so appropriate, someone comes to you and says, come in later, come back in 5 minutes. You know, what's that saying? You could view it cynically. No, it's showing respect that, even though it's not so appropriate, we're at least showing respect that we don't want you to see it. Okay, so you show respect to the tefillin by covering them, and we do have a precedent for that, that if someone goes to the bathroom by accident to tefillin, and then remember they're wearing the tefillin, they should put their hands on it, not to mention the fact that l'chachil is mutter if it's a double covering, but even a single covering, b'dievet sometimes we use, not in exactly this case. So maybe it's just respect that, now it's a little funny, it's still on you, no chatzitz between you and the tefillin, but still, it's the chatzitz between the tefillin and the smell. You know, after all, the flatulence comes out of the other part of the body, and then okay, so you could say it's at least chile kavod. It's at least a symbolic kavod for the tefillin. If you could say we did chatzitza, it's like putting it in a hermetically sealed double container. I wouldn't go that far, but it's certainly shown kavod to the tefillin, and at least on some level. So what you might say is that. Based on the pre-show, I didn't put the pre-show, but you can look at Mem Dalet Beis. And maybe the Migdal Oz. He says, give me half a second. He says it is that a chatzitza is chilek kavod. L'kedushasan, you're showing respect to the Kedusha of Tefillin, and when you show respect, it's not such a bizarre, and everyone knows. If I do something in your face, that's a big bizayon. If I do something, I say, close your eyes, then it's still not the most respectful thing ever, but it's not such a big bizayon. So therefore, you're protecting the Kedusha of Tefillin. You're showing respect to the Tefillin, and therefore, it's not so bad if you end up, doing something slightly inappropriate. So then it becomes very tricky, though. Let me just, then, be, and here is where it gets very tricky because we mudashach. If chile covered the kedushasa really works, meaning it's not disrespectful to pass gas if you show kavod by blocking off the tefillin, then even keva should be mutter. And if it doesn't work, then even arayin should be usher. So this is what it... I don't have an answer to your question that's meduyak in the Rambam, I admit, but let us just give ourselves a little space here. If so, why does it only work for Arai and not Keva, especially since the Rambam sounds like Keva and Arai is one thing. It's usherly Keva, even Arai, you know, he doesn't say two totally different prakim, Keva and Arai. So why would it only work for one and not for the other?
Could just be you're playing the odds. In other words, since this is not a great nitzah anyway, so we'll only allow it for when maybe not necessarily so likely. Shnei Esrei is a short amount of time, so it's not so likely.
So you could say we're
Kevin, you're taking a very big
right. So you can play. So you could say it's just a matter of playing the odds, and especially if it's not that it's not. Especially if you say it's not just that the flatulence itself is what's usher, but you have to be shomer against it. So the answer is, if you're Shnei Keva, that's like an 80% chance of passing gas. Shnei Esrei is like a 10% chance. There's an 80% chance is disrespectful. It's a bizoyan of the shmira, no matter what you do. But a 10% chance is only a slight bizayon. And therefore, maybe it's mutter if you're mechalik a little kavod. So you could say it is quantitative. Quantitative. Quantitative means...
probabilistic.
What?
Probabilistic.
Probabilistic, exactly. Meaning, it only works for a small chance of hafacha. You know, and then even if I do end up flatulating, but we say, look, you flatulated like really not planning to do so. It was an occurrence that probably wouldn't have happened, and you showed respect anyway, and therefore it's not a bizayon. Or you could say, this is what some of the Achronim say, the only problem is it's not so meduyak in the Rambam, qualitative. Arai and Keva are two totally different dinim. Again, the problem is the Rambam doesn't make it sound that way. I wish I found the diuk in the Rambam, but all the Achronim say that it's qualitative. Which, you know, I love a nice Lundish Sveidinim, except for the fact that I love them particularly if I have an actual textual basis. But they, for example, the Orch Liner says, Arai is only Osir because of Hafacha. Keva is Osir because of Hafacha and Hetzach Adas, because a long time counts as Hetzach Adas. And therefore, the Chil of Kavod takes away the Chash of Hafacha of Arai. But it doesn't take off the Chash of Hetzach Adas of Keva. Or the Sfas Emes and the Alter Rebbe and the Shulchan Aruch Rav say, no, Arai is only Asur because it's Gnai. Keva is Asur because of Hafacha. So, Chilo Kavod takes away the Chash of Gnai, but doesn't take off the Chash of Hafacha. So maybe say there's two different dinim here, and therefore Chilo Kavod takes away one Chash, but not the other Chash. And there's probably more formulation there, chronicles that I haven't seen. The problem is just that I wish I had a good basis in the Rambam. So, for example, maybe, says the Arch Lener, Arai is only Shash Hafacha, but Keva is also Hesach Hadas, or that's the Arch Lener, that's Misnagdish Pshat, the Hasidish Pshat, the Sfas Emes, and he doesn't quote, but it's before, it's in the Alter Rebbe, you know, 150 years before that, or you could say, in the Shulchan Aruch Rav, in Hilchos Tefillin, say Arai is only a Shash of Gnai. It's just not respectful to sleep. But Keva is also a chash of hafacha. Okay, so either you have to say quantitative, a chil of kavod works for a small chance, but not for a big chance, or you have to say qualitative, a chil of kavod is enough to be mater flatulence, but not to be mater hesgadas, or chlener, or chil of kavod is enough to be mater gnai, impropriety, but not enough to be mater flatulence, and that's the pshat of the Sfas Emes and the Shulchan Aruch Rav.
Can you say that Paris Sudra might not work if you're sleeping for a long time because the Sudra will fall off?
Ah, that's interesting. Maybe the Sudra will fall
time,
off and
stay on.
A technical shot?
Yeah.
Saying a really Paris Sudra also always works, but if you're sleeping Keva, it'll fall off. Not a bad shot, right? Not a bad. If Domi Niach Rosh Bein Berkov, so you'll put the Sudra. Yeah, you know, Sudra's not a small cult, it goes all the way down. But if your mom is sleeping in a bed or in a couch, you'll turn over. I haven't seen that in the Achronim. It's a good technical shot, no? Yosef.
No, not to argue with that, but just an apminutim is, it will be clearer if you're awake, no? Meaning if it's all quantitative, so obviously if you're awake, so you can't just pass gas, you can't just cover your tefillin and then pass gas. But if it's qualitative, so according to that, you should be able to do it while you're awake. According to Sfas Emes and
Lachan Ha'er. Maybe in a Hanami, unless you say that if you can take off your tefillin, it's. I mean, the problem is that doesn't seem to be the halacha. So what you have to say is that, well, if you're awake, not the Sfas Emes, because he says hafacha doesn't solve, but the Urch LaNer. According to the Urch LaNer, it's a good question. Why can't I always cover my tefillin and pass gas? Unless you say that either I could, but it's better if I'm awake to just take them off or hold it in. Or you have to say, even the Urch LaNer said it's only matter hafacha when it's a chance of hafacha, not when it's vade hafacha, which is apparently what Cheskel wants to say.
Yeah,
okay.
Although, like, to daven, you certainly be value better what you do. Then, like,
right.
Should I?
Okay. Now, I just want to point out the Rav. The Rav takes, and this is interesting. I'm not sure what the Megdolos means. He says, Chila kavod l'kedushasan, which sounds like what I've been saying until now. And then he says, Ubatla mixas kedushas hanachasan. You revatal some of the kedusha of wearing tefillin.
If you do what?
If you put a suitor on it, I think.
It's by putting on the suitor, understand, putting on the suitor to reduces the kedusha?
So I'm not sure if that's what he means, but that's what the Rav means. Says the Rav, a wild fish. Says the Rav, a very wild fish, but it might be true. Says the Rav, you know how the suitor helps? It's not just a symbolic kavod, like, oh, make a chatzitza so it won't be in the tefillin's face, so we'll be respecting it a little. No. Says the Rav that when you put the suitor on the tefillin, you've actually decreased the gavra's kiyum of wearing tefillin. Why? Remember what we quoted a few times from the Rav already, that the kiyum of tefillin, he says, to be a gavra. Remember everything we said about tefillin shel rosh last man, gavra mutar b'tefillin, the gar kaftu d'lomanach tefillin, the shem Hashem nekra alecha, the ikar kedushas hanachas tefillin, the ikar kedushas the gavra, the ikar wearing tefillin of the gavra is that you're crowned by the shem Hashem nekra alecha of the tefillin shel rosh. Finish the Rav, that's only if it's begoli. If a crown that you cover is not a crown. Once you cover the tefillin shel rosh, it's not visible. Now it's not shem Hashem nekra alecha anymore. Now you're not otir Yisrael b'tifara anymore. Now you're not a gavra otir b'tefillin. He says the ikar kiyum of tefillin is not just to have the tefillin on your head. It's to have show the tefillin on your head. If you cover the tefillin on your head, you are no longer crowned by tefillin, and you're not doing the kiyum of being a gavra otir b'tefillin. It's not otir Yisrael b'sefara, and it's not shem Hashem nekra alecha. There's no shem Hashem nekra alecha, right? V'ro kol ami aretz ki shem Hashem nekra alecha v'yaru mimecha. Now, he could have said shem Hashem nekra, whether they see it or not. He says, no. If it can be seen, then it's shem Hashem nekra alecha. But if you cover it, it's not shem Hashem nekra alecha. If it's not shem Hashem nekra alecha, then, and now, he wouldn't say you're not wearing it all, right? But you're still wearing tefillin, but you're not ma'utr b'tefillin. You don't have the shem Hashem of tefillin on you. And that's why you don't have to. That's why you can be makel. You don't have to have a such high level of shmius kedusha. Give me a second. Says the Rav. Give me a second. Says the Rav that if it's covered, then it's no longer meutar bitfillin or shame Hashem nikra alecha. Right? And once you're not in that high madriga, then it's not a problem if you're sleeping in tefillin, shenas arai. He still has to explain the difference between shenas arai and shenas keva. Right? Either, and he's going to have similar explanations to everyone else, right? Either it's not a problem of flatulence, but it would still be a problem of hesgadas, which would not fit with the other word of the realm, but that's okay. Or it's not a problem of gnai, but it wouldn't be a problem of flatulence. Or if you don't have to be shomer to make sure there's no chance of flatulence, as long as you don't probably flatulate. Or what Yehuda pointed out, just if it's kevah, it'll fall off. But that is saying, since it's not shem Hashem nekra alecha, it's still a kiyum of levishas tefillin. But it's not a kiyum of the tefara of tefillin. You don't have the pe'er of tefillin. It's not pe'er chachavosh alech if it's covered. Ah, if you're not the gavra pe'er of tefillin, then you don't have to be so careful about the kedusha. That's a chiddush of the rav. It's very different than the preacher. The preacher says you're just protecting it, you know, from trying to show a little cover by putting a cloth over its eyes. He says, no, is that you're taking away the main kiyum of tefillin. Now you're only left the half kiyum of tefillin. You're a lowish tefillin, but you're not a ma'utar tefillin. And if so, you don't have to have such a high level of shmira. And then you'll have to just follow the same logic we did earlier to explain the difference between arayah and keva. That's the Rav's chiddush. It is actually a very nice chiddush because it really, you know, it really explains why this suda makes a difference. The Rav says, halacha l'maisa, his father was so makbid on this diuk in the Rambam that when his father wore talus and tefillin on weekday mornings, he always checked and double-checked to make sure that his talus wasn't too far forward and wouldn't cover the tefillin. Because if his father's talus covered the tefillin, he wouldn't have a full kiyum of tefillin anymore.
Not at all?
What? Not at all? I'm not sure. You know, it's hard to be dyke in the Rishivas. but in general, I think most people, their talus doesn't cover the tefillin. It's not such a big deal. Okay, so he wasn't a mukubal. He wasn't a couple. By the Sfardim, they only cover the Rabbeinu Tam, right? You ever see the Sfardim, who wear them both together, which Ashkenazim never do. But all the Sfardim I've seen, they cover the Rabbeinu Tam and leave the Rashi. That's also a Pi-Kabbalah. It's not because of Al-Tosef, it's Pi-Kabbalah.
The only thing that doesn't fit with the Rambam, because the Rambam seems to indicate there's no difference between the Yad and the Rosh when he's talking about the Magnus of Tov.
That's exactly what you told me last time.
And you agreed with me last.
So why do you have to say it again? Okay. Anyway, so that's the difference. So in the end, we have three pshat in what the suitor does for the Rambam. One pshat, the Kesef Mishnah, purely psychological. It's a reminder, which then you have to get into psychology to see if it works. Second pshat, the Prisha, maybe the Migdal Oz, says that it's to protect the cover of the tefillin by making a chatzitza, which could very well be. Third pshat, the Rambam, it's not just Tama Chatzitza. It's taking away the Kedusha of the Gavra of the Tefillin. You're not a Gavra who has the Tiferes and the Pe'er of Tefillin. You're just a Gavra wearing Tefillin. Just a Gavra wearing Tefillin needs a lower level of care than a Gavra who has the crown of Tefillin, who has the Shem Hashem of Tefillin on him. That's a very beautiful pshat of the Rav. Okay, the hour is late.
The Paris Sutra is always only speaking about the Shel Rosh, right? Because the Shel Yad he's wearing anyhow.
The symbol shot of the Paris Sutra is,
to the Rambam too.
The symbol shot of the Paris Sutra is Shel Rosh because we always cover our Shel Yad.
Anyhow.
Right.
So that's
the
whole topic.
Yeah, that's the simple shot. Okay. Yes. Now, we don't have time to discuss everything we're going to discuss, so let's just finish at least the tefillin aspects. You know, we discussed the main tefillin part of the sugya. The machlokas from Yaakov and the Chachamim in terms of the keri, we discussed that aspect as well. I'll just fill in one machlokas Rishonim just to know. In Rabbi Yaakov and the Chachamim say back to Rabbi Yaakov, you can sleep Shena Sarai, but not Keva. Yeah, then what did Rabbi Yaakov think? Right? The Chachamim say to Yaakov, you can't sleep Keva. And what did Rabbi Yaakov think? So that's machlokas Rishonim that I put here on the sheet. The Ritva and the Ra'as say Rabbi Yaakov Takos Matar Kevin, sleeping Kevin while wearing tefillin. Oh, that's none of the Shitas. That's fine. He's a different Tana. He was Matar sleeping Kevin and tefillin. Tosos thinks it's too dachuk, same as Matar Kevin and tefillin. Say, yeah, he was only Matar Arai and tefillin. Hold on. If he was Matar Arai and tefillin, then what do the Chum argue about? So Tosos says, let's make a box, which is not part of this chart. What is the machlokas between Rabbi Yaakov and the Chachamim? According to the Ritva and the Ra'ah and the Pashup Shat, says Mutar Lishon Keva. And I'm going to say Keva is Aser, but Arai is Mutar, which is, not counting the Rambam, most people shot in the Gemara, right? Keva is a. According to, however, Tosos says no. Ridiculous. Rabbi Yaakov wouldn't be Mutar Keva. Rabbi Yaakov was only Matar Arai. But the Chachamim were also Matar Arai. So he just says Keva is Aser, and Arai is Mutar. Then he says, but if you sleep Arai, you see Keva. So what do the Chachamim argue then? So what's the Chachamim's problem with him then? What do they disagree? What does Tosa say? That there's a difference between Arai at
day
and Arai during the day. The Chachamim say Keva is Aser, and Arai is also Aser Belayla, right? because, as Tosa says here, Kula Modish, Pligi Milson, the Shardly Shim Film, etc. Uva Laila, Shedim Lamam, Fia Shedish Kaba, because it'll lead to Kaba, but Arai is Mutter. Bayom, he says Arai is Mutter. Afilu Balaila, and then there's a much more subtle machlokas between them. Okay, we'll pick up next time in Eretz Hashem, which, you know, we didn't technically read all the Reb Nosson, Reb Yossi, but Be'ikar, we'll pick up next time in Eretz Hashem with the discussion of sleeping, nothing to do with tefillin. Is it usher to sleep or mutter to sleep in general? Okay, everyone may be prepared to steal yourself till the next shiur, that maybe we shouldn't nap as much as we do, or maybe we should, and so we possibly will see. And that will just be the beginning of next year. Be'ikar, next year, we'll go into the next Mishnah and the story of Rabbi Tzadok and the Shir of Netilas Yadayim and Bracha Achrona, etc.